Blog Talk Radio.
Passover time next week and resurrection time. I don't know, man. I just feel like something's on the road here. Thank God for moving. God knows this stuff. And it's going to be really, really awesome to watch it happen for sure. So, yeah, so if you're interested in any type of resurrection for your own life, you might just get ready because something's going to happen. And we're going to believe God with you for it to happen for you. And God to open up that realm for you to things that have been, you know, things that have died in you. Maybe there's been some things that have died inside of you that need to be resurrected. Maybe you've had a loved one die. Maybe you've had a friend die. Maybe you've had, you know, maybe your animal died. I don't know. I mean, you know, we all love our animals, right? I don't know what's died. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what part of you has died. But get ready. It's going to be resurrected. Sometimes when, you know, these holidays and these feasts, you know, it's a time of celebration. It's the love fest. And when God gets ready moving, man, I mean, he just starts moving. He'll use the feast as an excuse. You don't have to have a feast, but it's just amazing. It's amazing that the feast kind of all lining up right now with a lot of different things. So it's pretty cool and going to be really amazing to watch. How the Lord's going to do things, and we're going to arise from the dead. I think the body of Christ is arising a whole other generation of ministers, of preachers, of teachers with a new vision, with new purpose, with new understanding of the scripture, just like Peter, James, and John, the new guys on the block at the time. Well, now we are the new guys on the block. And we've had a lot of new guys on the block as we've gone along through the generations. And we've had the last generation outpouring of all that. It was really awesome, really cool. Had a lot of great people. But you know what? There's something new going on, y'all. There's something new happening. And if you're into the old too much, well, you might just miss your visitation. I hope you're not. You know, I just hope that you're ready to be ushered into the glory of God and maybe in a fashion that we've never seen before. And it can happen in so many different ways. So I hope you're ready. And if you're not ready, all you do is get ready. Say, Jesus, I want to be ready. And he'll make you ready. He will make you ready. Yeah, that's for sure. So, yeah, jump in there on some of that, getting ready stuff. You know, the bride has to prepare herself, right? The bride prepares herself. And, you know, so that's what we do. We get prepared. If you're not prepared and ready, I mean, it's very plain in Scripture that being prepared and ready is extremely important. Yeah, wouldn't you say? I would say it is. And because the Scripture talks about it, being prepared, being ready, and preparation. So if you're not prepared, like the 10 wise virgins, five of them, they were all wise, but well, they were virgins, I mean, but five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. So you can be a virgin, friend, and be not too wise. So God give you wisdom because the preparations of everything are so important that if you're not prepared and ready, then just like Scripture said, if you go, oh, God wouldn't let me miss out on it, you can miss your visitation. I'm telling you, you can miss your visitation. And this is really powerful on me right now. I don't even know how to explain how this is getting on me because he's mainly talking to me, right? Yes, and he is definitely doing that. Also, he's talking to you. He's talking to all of us. And so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And if you're not prepared, you know, get prepared. He's giving you time. He's using me and using others in the ministry and friends and loved ones to say, hey, get yourself ready, man. Get yourself ready. It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be amazing. I mean, we're walking into a new studio. We're working on it, and it's happening little by little. We've had over $5,000 extra added for that building fund. Thank you for that, for everybody putting building fund on your offerings and whatever you bring in. And we really appreciate that. And so we're watching God, do some great things. And, all by simply just putting on your offering or your gift, whatever you're doing, a building fund. Yeah, and then it just doubles, just like that. It's just that simple. I mean, it's not that hard to do that, right? Yeah. So God's showing us how to do it and how to multiply and increase, even as simple instructions. We are in a season of breaking through, breaking in. I believe that we're actually entering into the land of Canaan in a spiritual sense. I really believe that people are getting homes, people are getting land, property, and we think that it's just the beginning of us as we usher in this new season of a Biden revolution, you might say, and the system, people getting all worked up and getting in their stuff. That's enough freaking out, man. They're going, oh, my God, if we don't get it going on now, we might not get it at all. I think that's how they feel. I really do. And so what they're going to find out that they're going to learn a lot of things they don't know, and we're going to be able to help them find it out, that's for sure. So hopefully you're in some of that, and if you're not, get ready, because you can be, and you can be very easily brought into what God is doing. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for you. He's just looking for you. I mean, he's literally looking for you. Excuse me a second on the video while I do this right here real quick. Yeah, he's looking for you, and all you got to do is be available. You don't have to be, the smartest kid on the block or the dumbest kid on the block. Some people think you got to be dumb to serve Jesus. Listen, you got to be smart in some ways to serve Jesus, because being smart spiritually, the Bible says that we're smarter than all the rest of them, right? I just happen to believe that, because I think when you're hearing from God, you're the smartest person on the block. Look at Joseph. Joseph was the smartest guy on the block. It wasn't because he was his daddy's favorite. It's because God was with him. And when God's with you, you move ahead of the curve. I feel sorry for the devil sometimes. If he just wasn't so damn mean and a thief and a liar and a murderer and trying to kill people and some of the devastating ways he tries to do it, if it wasn't for that, I might have, pity for him, but I have a hard time finding it. If I got any unforgiveness, for sure, it's definitely against him. So I think you can have unforgiveness against the devil, I think, yeah. So I know God does, but there you go. Anyway, so we are going to believe God for vindication, that God is going to vindicate himself. Remember, even in the book of the Revelations, you see right where God goes in and those who have, been killed by the beast or whatever, that they are, they are vindicated. I mean, they're crying out. Their blood's crying out. When are you going to vindicate us? So there is that thing that goes on, and it is going to happen, and it's going to be amazing when it does. And so, and I want you to look at this for a second. Psalm 91 talks about how that we're going to see the reward of the wicked with our own eyeballs. Well, those people who want to get out of here before all this happens, they're going to miss out on something God wants to show his people. Why do you think he wanted Israel to be right next door, and have this huge screen, a video screen of the movie that was not a movie, it was real. It was being filmed. the angel camera crew was at it. But, they were standing right there. They watched the whole thing. Let me ask you something. Do you think that God blinded their eyes so they couldn't see him vindicating himself and bringing wrath down on those who had oppressed his own people? Listen, it's all over the Bible, man. These people don't have a clue what they're going to be here for. But they don't want to be here for it, but they don't understand why God wants them to see, especially in an hour of time, where there's such oppression, like, in China, the Chinese people that are being oppressed by the government and by the devil and by all the things that haven't been killed all the time. I mean, they've got their great tribulation going on right now. It's not, may not be the great tribulation, but in their eyes, it's pretty great. It's pretty amazing, pretty bad. And so, you know, just think about all the people that have been killed and wounded and their lives have been destroyed through, you know, these governments that have, you know, totally the Antichrist and just killing and murdering people, murdering children in front of their families, and their families in front of their children. You know, could you imagine that? Yeah. So let me tell you something, friend. We're going to talk about it sometime in the future, maybe tonight. I don't know. Well, we're going to talk about it tonight or not. But let me tell you something. God wants, you know, you to see his vindication come for his people. When he comes to vindicate, just like in Egypt. Egypt is probably the most perfect way, in the most celebrated way, because now we are about to celebrate that, right? We're about to celebrate Passover here in a few days. And I want you to constantly think about what went up in Passover. Some things went down, some things went up, right? What was going down and what was going up. Yeah. With the Lord, we will suck, because we're going up, you know, in the spirit, and they're going down. And right before our eyes, friend, they're going, the reward of the wicked. Now, you have to understand, the reason we're going to be able to watch it and see it is because, just like in Egypt, God's going to give them every chance to say, I can serve God or not. You know, the Egyptians knew all about the blood of the doorpost and what was going to happen. And after all the plagues, God made it really plain, not just to the Israelites, friend, he made it plain to the Egyptians. He made it plain to them. He said, I'm coming to vindicate. I'm coming to take down, you know, I'm a jealous God, and you guys got all kinds of gods, and I'm going to show you. Look what God was doing for the world, for Egypt. He came to show them too, them also. Listen, you have made a god out of the Nile, the god of the Nile, and I'm going to show you that the Nile ain't got nothing on me. You know, what was he doing? He was trying to show them. He's a loving, compassionate father, and Jesus Christ came to save the lost and the hateful and the vindictive and the murderers. He came to save them. We've got to understand, that's just God's nature. And when he came into Egypt, we're about to celebrate all this stuff. He came in there, and he wasn't just showing Israel, hey, Israel, I love you. You're my babies. You're my children. I want you to watch me show the world Egypt. Nobody could do this but God. Moses didn't have a clue. He thought, how am I going to raise up an army? What am I going to do? How are you going to do this? I'm going to throw my rod down. The rod's going to do everything. He didn't understand all of it. He was just doing what God said. And God was choosing to plague Egypt in a fashion that everybody knew what was going on. And believe me, everybody in Israel knew exactly the frogs, the lice, the darkness that went all through Egypt that nobody could see in front of themselves. They were crying out. They were going, oh, my God. They'd never seen darkness like that in their lives. It was a show that I can't wait to see the whole thing, especially from God's perspective and an Israeli's perspective, what God was doing, man. And you think that's going to change now? That ain't going to change now. It ain't going to change never. 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 Not going to change. We're going to be here. We're going to see it. We're going to see the reward of the wicked, because God, just like Egypt, gave them every chance in hell and in heaven to say, that God is the God of all gods. I mean, that's what God came in there to say. Look at what Moses, his own spiritual advisor said, the magician said. They told Moses, they told Pharaoh, they said, Pharaoh, man, we know you're the boss, but you know what? This guy, I mean, his God is the God of God, because after the third plague, they couldn't copy any of them. They couldn't match up. They could not match up with any of the plagues after the first three. Yeah. When the lice came and the frogs and all that, oh, they were kind of going. I think the frogs they did. I can't remember which one it was right now, but I haven't done a fresh study on this. This is, I'm prophesying to you that. So after the third plague, I know it was after the third plague, his magicians go to him and he said, man, Pharaoh, this is God. I mean, we ain't got God according to this God. Nobody can do that but a God who's bigger than our God. And his own magicians were telling him, were preaching to him, God, the God of the God of Moses is the God of God. They were saying that to him. And what do you think was being passed around all Egypt, friend? All of Egypt was getting the rumors of what the magicians. You know what the magicians started preaching? They started preaching to the Pharaoh. You know what they were preaching? They were preaching, hey, Pharaoh, we need to let this guy go because his God, he's got it going on. We ain't got nothing like this guy because at least they were honest. I think they really believed that their magic and their gods were the greatest. You can see the honesty in even the magicians. When they said, hey, Pharaoh, this is out of our league, man. This is way up. And then every plague after that, seven plagues after that, number seven. We couldn't do any of them. They were like blown away. They couldn't protect the people. They couldn't protect their crops. They couldn't protect the waters for the fish, for their fish industry, where most of their wealth was. Oh, my God. I mean, come on. God was coming in. What was he doing? God Almighty was preaching to the Egyptians. He said, I've let this go on long enough. Now I'm about to show you that you're missing it. I am the God and the creator of all things. You need to pay attention to me because I love the world. I made it. And I made every Egyptian. I made every Israelite. I made everybody. And look at this, man. You know, when we're going to see the reward of the wicked according to Psalms 91, you know what that means? That's just like in Egypt with Israel. That God gave them every chance, dude, before he started killing people. On the last plague killed some people. And I think there were some, the hailstones might have killed some. There might have been some people die here and there. But he wasn't going after people until the last plague. Why was that so? Because basically he was saying to them, he wanted to give them a chance to change their minds, or what we call repentance or revival. That's what I think of a revival, are you? Repentance, people getting right with God. People preaching, God's the God of God, your gods are going down. Our God, the God of Abraham, Jesus Christ, he's the risen Lord. He's the one. Serve him. Come to the cross. You say, repent of your sins. That's what God Almighty was lovingly and powerfully. I don't know how lovingly it was. Oh, it was love because God is love. It has to be love, right? Okay, so it was love, pure raw love, preaching to the Egyptians saying, man, you guys are deceived. You duped. I know your mom and daddy told you that the God of the Nile, the God of this, the God of all these different gods, I know they told you this, but you know what? I came to change your mind. And one of the first people that started acknowledging that God was real was Pharaoh's own crew, his own leaders, his own magicians, his own preachers, his own spiritual guidance people were saying, hey, this is it, man. This guy's got it. We don't have it. And they were being honest. Because I think many of them were truly, in many ways, seeking, real power. I think they really were. And I think when God showed up, I wish I could have, maybe one of these days, we'll get to see the video on what Pharaoh's staff, his administration and his spiritual leaders were saying behind closed doors. Oh yeah, I would like to hear that, man. I'm hoping God will show me before I go to heaven. Just say, hey, Randy, I'm going to show you some stuff because you asked me. I'm asking him right now. Show me some of that stuff, God. I want to know. I want to know what they said. Oh my God! And even Pharaoh. I know I don't have much of scripture for this tonight, but just read Exodus. 10, 11, 12, all in there. It's just real simple. And just Google some of it if you can't find stuff. Right? And so, what happened was that God was giving Egypt an opportunity to not be considered wicked. You know what wickedness is? Wickedness is God showing you that he loves you and that he's the God of all gods and makes it really plain to you like he did the Egyptians, and then they turn their back on him. And then they still don't believe. That's called wicked. Oh, yeah. So what did God do in the last plague, the 10th plague? He started Then he started killing people, some people, not everybody. He started saying, hey, you haven't listened to me? You can put the blood over your doorpost, you Egyptians, because I don't look at who's behind the doors. I look at the lamb's blood that's on the doorpost. And if you will put that lamb's blood on your doorpost, well, you know what? That was an abomination to the Egyptians. They were going to do it. They were going to do it. So, and God allowed it to be that way because he wanted to show them about the firstborn and putting God first and Israel putting God first. And how the firstborn really opened up the financial realm for Israel to go in and take the money out of the Egyptian homes. I mean, talk about spreading the wealth, man. Everyday ordinary people went to their neighbors and got gold and silver and cloth and all kinds of stuff. Jewels. Yeah. It's amazing. And so, well, I'm getting a word here. Hang on a second. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord and my God, dear Jesus, we love you. I thank you. Get ready, friend, because this season of Easter, did I just say Easter? We bind that up in the name of Jesus. This season of Passover, because people have been telling me, it's going to be Easter. It's going to be Passover, right? It's going to be Passover. We're not hunting Easter eggs, right? I don't know about y'all. I'm not hunting Easter eggs. I haven't had an Easter egg since I was a little bitty kid or had vaccines either. So we see Passover coming up here. And what's going to happen is God just showed this to me as I was talking about this thing, where after God showed the world, the Egyptians, he gave them all the chance in the world to turn. They didn't turn. So their firstborn died. And the firstborn dying, or the destruction of things that were very close and personal and first to the world, to the Egyptians, when that began to they began to die, and they died that night during the 10th plague, that God sent his people to gather together the wealth. Friend, get ready. I'm going to prophesy to you that. Get ready, because this season, this Passover season is the season where God is going to begin to open up doors of wealth being released to his people. Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Well, I'm a Christian. I don't care. Are you ready? I want to know, are you ready? I'm not asking if you're a call. I'm a Christian. So what? So what? The 10 virgins? Virgins, to me, represents Christians. But you know what? Those Christians, 5 of them, weren't ready. They were not prepared. They were not obeying God. And then they tried to mooch off the ones who had enough to get their breakthrough. And thank God the wise ones didn't listen. They said, no, go get your own oil. Unless we don't have enough to make it ourselves. Yeah, that sounds selfish, doesn't it? Think about what Israelites, when they went into the homes and got the money, how selfish that sounded. If you want to talk about what sounds selfish, look at that. Oh, yeah, come on in. My dead son's on the floor, my firstborn, and my dead husband is the firstborn. They're all dead. What did you say you wanted? Money? From us? Yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Step over my son. Yeah, don't watch. Why, that's my donkey. That was my firstborn donkey. But step over them. Yeah. Okay, come on. Just take whatever you want and then get the heck out of here before I, start doing something crazy. And that's what they did. Oh, look how cruel that looked. But God set it up, friend. I'm telling you, you need to get your eyes on Jesus and what he does and the ways of God. If they're saying, oh, those 10 wise virgins, they were so selfish. What's wrong with those people? They're just some really, really selfish. I mean, No, it's called, obviously, wisdom. Well, when God told Israel to go into the neighbors, you think they didn't know that they had dead donkeys and dead animals all over the place? The firstborn, because all the dead animals, firstborn or animals are going to be dead. The firstborn belongs to God. The first fruit belongs to God. Are you giving your first fruit to God? Are you piddling around with that? Oh, you know what? You may find some things being dead in your life because you're not giving the first to God. Oh, I know that already, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it tonight. Instead of having blessings, you're going to find that your first blessings are going to be dead right there in your own house, in your own bank, in your own system. And don't say you weren't told. Tonight, I just told you. Wow, that was a little tough saying it. Hey, but you know what? The five wise virgins would say, hey, man, you know, I mean, we can't make it if we might not be able to make it if we give you some of our oil. Oh, wow. And they entered in. Guess what? I don't care what you call yourself, and even if you're really born again, because they were all virgins. They were all Christian. They were all virgins. So what? You're a Christian? Big bunch of funny stuff. You know, I mean, tell me something, friend. Are you wise? And are you willing to listen to God's wisdom when he talks to you? If God tells you you got $5 left, and that's all you got to feed your family, and God says to you, give that $5 to the poor person down the street, how cruel does that sound? How cruel does that sound? Come on, somebody wake up out there. Help me. Help me preach this a little bit. How cruel is that? Oh, God, I can't be giving you it's my last $5. My children don't have enough food to make it. I mean, oh, my God, I can't do that. God, that's cruel. That can't be God. That's got to be the devil. I rebuke you, Satan. That sounds too cruel to be God. Well, how do you think it sounded when the Egyptians, the Israelites, coming in there saying, our God told us to come in and ask for your money? How cruel do you think that sounded to them? But you know what? God gave them every chance, friend. Just like he's giving Christians every chance that call themselves Christians, but they're unwise Christians. You know why? Because they're not giving their first fruits to God. Yeah. I mean, you know, after this whole thing happened with Egypt and Israel from then on, every time a heifer had a calf, and then became a cow, you know, that first one always belonged to God, every time. That was something. And every woman that had a child, the firstborn son was given to God. Was offered to God, was dedicated to God. Everything first, friend. If you ain't got that first thing going on, you got second and third and fourth, guess what? You're going to find a lot of dead things hanging around your territory and your life because you're not honoring God with your first. Do whatever you want. I'm just telling you what God says. All right, so they come in there, and how cruel did that sound? Well, think about what Elijah, we got to talk about this. This is cool. I just thought about this. I thought about cruel. I always thought it was kind of cruel of Elijah. Elijah was kind of a wild man. He walks up to a widow her and her son were eating their last biscuit or fixing to go make their last meal. And, you know, there'd been a drought that it was Elijah's responsibility. Elijah's the one who said, you know, let there be a drought. And there was three years or so. And, you know, he walks up to his stuff dried up, right? His stuff dried up. He was at the river, and the blackbird quit showing up, you know. And so God says, go to the widow. And he walks up to the widow, and I don't know if he knew her or not, but he says, hey, widow, you know, he says, so what are you doing? I'm making my last meal. This is all I got. Here comes Mr. Cruelty. Elijah, Mr. Cruel, Mr. Crazy Man says, well, when you bake it and give it to me first. Give me the first. And she's like going, in her mind, had she not been a wise woman who knew God, so you understand, I think you understand, Elijah, I mean, I'm going to bake this last thing for me and my son, and then we're going to eat it, and that's going to be it. We're going to die. And Elijah said, yeah, I know, I heard you. Give me the first one. What do you think God was getting ready to do? He was drawing her out to put God first, friend. There's a lot of people that when it comes down to it, they don't put God first. They hide their stuff. They hide everything. Yeah, and they act like they're obedient to God. I'm telling you, man, that stuff is about to be dealt with because they're going to have to go in town and get their oil. And when they come back to the breakthrough moment, the Lord's going to say, well, I'm sorry, you just missed out. Sorry, Well, when Elijah told her to give that was the cruelest thing. I mean, when I listened to that, I was going, man, if that wasn't cruel, I don't know what was. To the natural mind, if that sounds cruel to you, I think it's kind of cruel to me. That means that's your carnal mind thinking. But when you think in the spirit realm and God says, give me the first, that means he's going to bless it. And from that time on, that woman never did run out of food. Other people were dying all around her because of a three-year famine. Could you imagine a seven-year famine? With when Joseph was in there, oh, dude, that was bad. The whole world came to Egypt. How much more do you think that was than a three-year? A three-year is really bad. No crops, no food. People are dying. And Elijah is being Mr. Meanie, and he's going in. And he said, hey, give me that first one. I don't want to die. That's why he wasn't saying it, because he didn't want to die. He said it because God told him to speak the word. And when he spoke that to her, she goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember. That's happened before. You know, God says give him the first. And because she was a wise woman and had scripture in her head and had a relationship with God somehow or another, she obeyed him. She didn't have to obey him. She feared God, reverenced God, loved God, put God first. When you got God first, you'll be able to hear it. When God sounds cruel to others, it won't sound cruel to you. Because when you got God first in your life and God says something to you, you're going, yes, God, you got it. When God asked Abraham for his firstborn miracle child, that when you look at that in the natural, it's hard to even talk about that sometimes. When I first talk about that, I explain away, you know, why God wouldn't really kill him. And we don't need to be offering up our children. It was something Abraham did that was special, and it was special. But I was only trying to explain it away. You know why? Because it was hard for me to think that God would ask some man and tell his wife, hey, I'm going to take this child and offer it up. Why? Because, honey, because God asked me to. You're going to kill our child? That's cruel. God would never ask of that, but you know what? Because Abraham had ears of the Spirit, and I think Sarah did too. What Abraham had ears to hear, he had God first, and when you have God first, friend, sometimes God's going to ask things of you that seem cruel, that seem so out of there. You're going to go, oh, my God, that's just cruel, God. I can't believe you're asking me for the first. You're asking me for my last, too, because that was her last meal. It was going to be her first death. And we're going to eat this, and we're going to have our first death. Or she's going to die. Oh, my God. Chandler, where are you going tonight? Listen. 99% of that was totally spontaneous, friend, because I was going to talk about John 20, about forgiveness of sin. I was going to talk about that. But the Lord just took me off on this little trip here, and I'm just following him going, dear God, what are you doing tonight? Listen, friend, do not rob God. Do not rob God. Do not rob God of the glory when he does something in your life. Do not rob God of the credit that belongs to the people that God has used, those people that have prayed for you. And when you start getting miracles and breakthroughs, you need to make sure and go to them and say, I thank God first, and I thank you too, and I give God the glory and the credit for what he's done and how you prayed me through this thing. Thank you, Jesus. And give God the glory. When you give him the glory and the credit, friend, guess what? Your first whatever, yeah, the beginning of your prosperity is going to shrivel up and die. You better dedicate it to God, whatever you're doing. That house, that home, your car. Hey, friend, you might ought to start giving it to God and doing it right now before it ends up in the trash can and and you still making payments on it. Because I'm telling you what, you know, in the hour we're about to walk in, we're going to see the glory of God manifest, where people that put God first are going to be the only ones who are going to prosper and be blessed and be used by God in miracles, signs, and wonders, while we put to shame the Antichrist and the spirit of Satan is going to be at his fullest power. And I'm telling you, most Christians are so afraid. Oh, my God, the devil's going to be so strong, Randy. What are we going to do when that happens? We got to get out of here. We're not appointed to wrath. They don't even understand what that means. You're going to see it, friend, with your own eyes. You're going to watch the reward of the wicked. Why? They're only wicked in God's eyes because they have refused to receive their salvation that has been given to them in many different forms
in many different ways, God has made it plain to them that I am the God of gods. I am the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I sent him to die for you, and you're not giving your life to him. I give you every chance now, my people whom you're trying to oppress, you're trying to put in prison, you're trying to kill, you're trying to lock up, I'm going to let them watch you be put in a place of reward for your wicked deeds. And they're going to watch it right in front of their own eyeballs. And people say, oh, I don't want to be here for that, Brother Randy. That's so cruel. Not when you think like God thinks, friend. Wake up. Come on. In Jesus' name. Come alive tonight. It's the resurrection time. God's going to resurrect your understanding. When you quit thinking, when God asks you, you quit rebuking God. When God starts speaking to you about things like, oh, Abraham with Isaac, offer up your son. Well, the reason Abraham didn't think that was cruel because he trusted God. He had God first. When God asked him to do that, yeah, he struggled. Yeah, he battled. But, you know, because he had God first, he was able to work it out through the first dimension that God is first in my life. And because of that, he was able to reason out that God is going to do something because he's first in my life. Everybody else thought, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Christians, even to this day, have a hard time talking about it. Because they see it as cruel. They don't see it. I don't want to go see the Passion of the Christ. It looks cruel. And it does look cruel. I went and saw it, a few days ago. It does look. When they were beating him and whipping him, and Mel Gibson did such an amazing job of showing our Jesus, I don't know where he got that at, man. But somebody was talking some stuff in his ear. It might have been God. I don't know who it was. But that was absolutely mind-boggling. How he had our precious Jesus, Lamb of God, crawling up on that cross, and the people who had beat him to a bloody pulp couldn't even hardly have the strength to drive the nails in. And there he was, the one being whipped and beaten and had to carry that cross up that hill. It was impossible. But God was showing how strong his love is, friend. Oh, and Jesus was putting you first and me first. That's who he was putting first. It wasn't himself. He was putting the love of the Father first. What are we doing? Because if you don't have him first, friend, you're going to think things are cruel. When God speaks to you, you're going to be rebuking and calling him the devil. I'll rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. I'm not going to offer my first meal. I'm not going to offer up my last meal that me and my son have been eating and died. That's cruel. Yeah, if you think in the flesh, that's what you're going to think, sure. And guess what? You're going to miss out on the first blessing of God. God puts you first. Jesus on the cross of Calvary, friend, was putting you and me first after the Father. He was putting it under the Father. And the Father was putting us first, not his own son. Just like Abraham had to lay down his first. God was laying down his first for you, offering up his first so you could be first, the firstborn. He was the firstborn among many brethren. God did his first. What do we do? I don't have time. Sorry. You know, God, you know how it is. You can't ask that to me. That's cruel. Oh, I got $5. You want 50 cents from my time, from my hour to give to that, my church? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't do that. Sorry. And I don't think God's going to say that's okay. Because once he gives you something, he gives you the power to do it. Yeah. I'm telling you, friend, get ready for some revelation from heaven this next week, because I can't sit here and plan a message. I can have people send me text and scriptures and all kinds of wonderful things, and I read them. But you know what? I can't preach anything other than what God gives me. I wish I could, because there's some pretty great messages being sent to me. I love it. It's up there. They're amazing. But you know what? I can only give you what God gives me, because I think God's getting ready to download a bunch of firsts. What does he do with the prophets? He gives them the first word. Well, except the prophets that don't give God the first, then they don't get the first either. Because getting the first means you give the first, friend. Where are you at on that? I don't know you. I'm not trying to point the finger at you. God will point the finger at you if he wants to. And he'll do it in such a loving way because he gave his son. He's giving you every opportunity, me every opportunity, to put God first in everything. And when you start doing that, friend, God's going to put you first. Oh, that person next in line to get that big job that you want or need, or that money that you need, huh? You may not be first in line. You may be like last in line. But guess what? When you put God first, yeah, with your little bitty nothing, put it first. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about your 50 cents. It's not, your 50 cents doesn't do nothing for much of anybody. That's not the point. The point is, are you putting God first? And when you put God first, he will move you from the last to the first. And then the first are going to be last, and then the last are going to be first. Why? Because you put him first. And he's going to put you, even though you're in the last place, he's going to make you first, man. You want to be first with God? You want to be first to win? You want to be first to get the glory to God and say, God, you know, look what God did for me. Look what God did for me. Yeah, because God and you are, God connects you, the blessing that he gives you to the firstborn and the first. You don't give in the first, you may not ever get much of anything. You're going to be the last. You'll be the last. If you're the last, you'll be the last. Just stay the last. You'll always be the last. It's okay. I mean, you can if you're happy with that. Praise God. Whatever. But, friend, when you put him first, it's not just about, you know, having favor with people and having money. It's about having favor with God. Favor with God isn't about getting everything you ask for so much as it is getting the fellowship with him and knowing that you put him first and that he puts you first. And it's altogether amazing, the love that is revealed to you, not just talked about, but the love of God is revealed to you. When it gets revealed, that's a whole different thing. Oh, Jesus loves you, this I know. I should tell it to people all the time, and I'm in it. You know what? If they don't get it, they don't get it. They don't got it. When they don't got it, they don't get it. They don't get it, they don't got it. That means they don't have it. Amen. All right. I know y'all still love me. I can feel the love. I can feel the love. I can. I can feel it. It makes me want to sing. Hey, I got so much stuff. I got so much stuff today, man. I got so much revelation today. That wasn't part of it. That was not the revelation I got today, by the way. That was just that. I started off with that, and that just took off, and it went where I never thought it would go. I was going to talk about forgiveness of sin, because today is Thursday, right? Maybe we'll get to next week, but this is an amazing time. It's an amazing season. I have to give what God gives me. And it's truly amazing, right? Yeah, tonight's communion night. And who knows, we might still get into it. You never know. But get your communion cup ready, friend. Let's put God first. Gosh, I didn't realize it's 10 till. Oh, my goodness, I thought it was like 9:30. It is 10 till 10. Oh, my goodness. And nobody was texting me telling me to stop either in case you think they were. Of course they weren't. Our PG&E people don't do that. All right, get your bread. And get your juice, and let's drink blood and eat flesh, right, of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Man, I can't wait to share all the revelation I got today. I mean, I don't know when God's going to let me do it, but it's just so amazing. I just love giving it away because when I give it away and I put God first, putting God first means for me is giving it all away, freely. You know, freely I give, freely I receive. That's the problem with people. Sometimes is we don't. When I don't give away freely, I don't receive freely. But when you give freely, freely you shall receive. Freely you give, you don't tie strings. You're like, okay, Brother Tanner, you know, you owe me now. I don't owe you anything but love. I'm going to just love you. I don't think any of our PGN people ever do that, of course. But, you know, people do that in churches. You know me, Pastor. I've been coming here for 35 years. I've been giving my tithe every week. You know, you owe me. And that's why they're not blessed. You know why? Because they got their eyes on man, given to man, connecting streams to people. Bless their heart. They're never going to be blessed. And neither will you and I either. So there you go. All right, let me get some water, and we're going to get ready to take communion. I don't have any water here. Reach for water. I don't have any. All right, getting ready for the PGN Studios, y'all. Oh, my gosh. We have $5,000, over $5,000 extra raised, and that's not including tonight. That's not including tonight. Yeah. And tonight, it's going to add another, let's see, two. And we're going to have another, for almost 5,000 added tonight. Another 5,000 added tonight. I said 5,000. I did say that. Another 5,000 tonight. And I'm so thrilled, man. I told you guys, everybody's put their money in the bank, right, for that, for the match. All that money's been put in the bank. Everything that was matched up for every offering was put in there. And we had over $5,000 added to our account for the PGN Studios, for the building fund. Thank you for that. We have a lot more tonight to add to that. Another $5,000 actually. Oh, man, this is amazing, man. This is amazing. Okay, God is good. So we're going to pray over your offerings tonight. And if you put building fund on there, it will be doubled. It will be matched. If you put $10, it'll be $20. If you put, $100, it'll be $200. If you put $1,000, it'll be $2,000. So do whatever God speaks you to do. Be free. There's no pressure, no nothing. Just be free. Just be free. Do it in love. Do it because you want to. If you don't want to do it because you want to, just don't do it at all. Please. Literally, please don't do it at all. Give it somewhere else. Do whatever you want to do. Keep it or something, but just give because you want to. When you want to give, then release it, because in that attitude, it'll be multiplied abundantly. All right, let me get some water. Let's get ready to pray. We'll get your communion if you don't have it ready yet, and let's get ready to do that. All right. Okay, we are here, and thank you, Jesus, for everything you're doing tonight. God, thank you for communion night. Thank you for the Saturday begins Passover. People are telling me they're putting their if you haven't said that your offering goes to the building fund, you can just send me, if you forgot to do that, or maybe you don't know how to do it. Some people just don't know how to do that yet. You can just send me a text or an email, and then we'll do that for you, okay, if you want to do that. You just do it because you want to, seriously. Do it because you want to, and when you're ready to do the want to, then do it, and it'll be your increase will be a lot greater. Trust me, it'll be a whole lot greater, and you'll enjoy it too. It'll be really awesome. Okay, so let me give me a second here to kind of put some of these offerings together and write them down. Thank you for everything you guys are doing. I'm going to look at the app and make sure that I'm not missing anything on the app. All right. Hallelujah. Yes. Okay, let's go here and see what's up with this. Okay. Okay. There we go. Okay, I'm going to get these offerings up. Give me just a moment here to do this, if you would. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's for building fund. Gotcha. Thank you for that. All right, let's go here to Noel. Go, woohoo! She's excited. It is exciting. Thank everyone. Thank you, Jesus. This is so amazing. All right. All right, if you want to know what I'm doing, I'm getting ready. Get your communion ready if you don't have it ready, please. Let's get ready for that. As I mark up these offerings that are coming in. Okay. All right. Are y'all ready for Passover? A lot of people call it Easter still. Okay. All right. I slipped and called it Easter flat, didn't I? I sure did. Wow. Okay. Okay. Another one. Getting all these going here. Okay. Just remember, if you want to go for building fund, let me know, and I will do that for you. Okay. All right. I can tell I'm working here. I am. Give me a second. All right. I think I got it here. Okay. We're doing this thing. All right. I think we're ready. Let's take communion. Let's lift up your bread. And I'm going to read the scripture to you tonight. I got it right here somewhere. I do, right here. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Number 23 means debt, I think. Last time I checked on my old number system, 23 means death. It's one of the things it means. So it's talking about the death of Christ. Jesus is about to give his body. Amen. All right, so we just lift up the bread tonight, Lord, and we thank you tonight. Paul the Apostle said, for I received from the Lord, but he also passes on to us, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat, friend. We bless and we break it. Hallelujah. Blessed Lamb of God, precious body. Lord, tonight we lift up the cup in the same manner. After supper, he took the cup and he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. My blood. Very important. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just drink your blood tonight, and we eat your body. Hallelujah, we eat your bread. I was going to talk about that a little bit tonight, but man, we got up on some other things. But this whole realm of Jesus' blood, we're really going to dive into that. Maybe it's good that we start it maybe Monday a little more. We'll talk about it a little bit tonight, knowing what the blood of Jesus, for most of you have been listening for a while, you know that we're talking about how the blood of Jesus was shed because there's a blood issue, there's a blood problem. Everything's passed down through the blood. And even though our spirit man has been totally recreated and born anew and totally brand new, there's parts of us that have not been new, right? I mean, everybody agree with that? Your spirit man was totally recreated, totally and completely. Seated with Christ. You can't be seated with Christ and have sin in your spirit man. Your spirit man has no sin in it. Your spirit man is pure, recreated in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Seated at the right hand of the Father, according to Scripture. All right? But here's what we start dealing with. We start dealing with that your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, and your body are still here in the earth. So that's why we know that we need to learn how to apply the blood to our blood, because if your body was perfect, if your body had no sins of the fathers in there affecting your body, affecting the way you think, affecting your mind, giving you battles. Now, because your spirit man was born again and recreated, that gave you a big boost. Because the spirit man part of you is seated with Christ. In other words, he's in a realm of perfection where he cannot be defiled. Your spirit man cannot be defiled. That's the part of you that's in the secret place of the Most High. Why secret? Because it's hidden, can't be found by the enemy, the world. Your spirit man cannot sin, friend. You know why? Now, if it was here in the earth realm, in the sense that instead of being seated at the right hand of the Father, seated with Christ in heavenly places, then we have a problem. But God knew that he had to seat your spirit man with Christ in heavenly places, and you can't be seated there with Christ and have sin in your life, in your spirit. But here's the thing that will explain why your blood is still defiled and not perfect, because your body is still producing the effects of past generations. I don't know any Christian. It'd be cool that as soon as we got born again, your blood gets clean. You don't need to have forgiveness of sin, because when your blood gets clean, Brother Randy, don't you know you've been born again, you're pure. Oh, really? Then why does your body get sick then? Well, because we live in the world. No. Jesus lived in the world. He gets sick. No, that's not right. That is not right. Why? Because Satan still has something in you, in your blood. Just like in your mind. Your mind is not perfect, right? I don't know. Is your mind perfect? I don't think your mind's perfect. I know your mind's not perfect. And I know for sure mine's not perfect, right? So what happens is your mind has to be renewed. Your spirit man does not get renewed. It has got reborn. Your soul got sins forgiven, and now we begin to apply that precious blood to our soul. When we sin, apply the blood for forgiveness. But it goes much more than that. We're just applying the blood to the fruit of sin that we have in our lives at times instead of the root of it. Now, we do both. But the fact that your body is not, that you have to have medication. Some of you, I know some of you on medication right now. Where'd that come from? Jesus didn't give it to you. Now, that comes from something genetic in you, in your bloodline, where you have an issue. Nobody can do it to anybody. I have my share of things. It's just like a bill. But, you know, some of you are on medication, you know, and you've been on medication for a while. You know, so we can't say, well, I'm clean, man. I'm clean. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Somebody's trying to, Maureen's trying to call me. Maureen, you're trying to call the wrong phone number. Okay, there you go, Maureen. All right, so that's proof that your soul, your mind has to be renewed. Why? Because you still have bad memories. You still have struggles with, you know, things you want to do that you know you should not be doing. Yeah, all of us. Some of us have it more than others. Why? Because DNA, the DNA room. Now, so without getting, I'm not going to get into the big teaching part of that right now. I'm studying it in a lot of areas in Scripture, and I'm looking for some really good answers, and I'm getting some. It's really amazing. Here's the, I'm giving you the simple one tonight, just to kind of like, okay, relax, chill out. This is not a false doctrine. This is simple, basic truth, because if your mind has to be renewed and your body still has effects of, you know, you still have the effects of DNA that has been given to you from your fathers, then that just shows you that that's not taken care of yet. So I think it's going to be a thing like renewing your soul. I don't think it's going to be a one-time shot. I don't really know exactly how all it's going to be. I know Isaiah 54:17 gives some very specific instructions on how we're going to do, how we're going to deal with this thing in our inheritance or in our bloodline. And we're going to talk about that next week. I wasn't going to talk about it tonight, but tomorrow. It's really, really cool revelation. You're going to love it. Just study Isaiah 54, verse 17, and all through there about, you know, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you keep shouting down, for this is the inheritance of the Lord and all that. Just read that, study that, and go back and listen to the teaching we had on that. I think you'll maybe have your mind opened up to some really cool things. But so we're going to dive into this. I think it's amazing that we're doing it during the season of the blood being shed. Look at this. We're in the season where we're celebrating the blood of Christ being shed for our sins and his body being given to us. Oh, my goodness. What a perfect in sync lining up. And that was not planned by me. It was in sync lining up with God's, with the feast of all things. Come on, bro, sister. This is amazing. This is so cool. It is so amazing that I'm like going, I'm kind of in shock. I'm kind of in shock, honestly. It's a good shock, but it's shock. That shock, that thing with Noel is a shock treatment. I'm getting shock treatments. It started on November the 7th. It literally did. I feel like God put something in my spiritual faith, and he went, gulp, literally, I mean, literally. That's what it felt like. Man, it's amazing. And so I continue to live in shock, honestly. It's an amazing shock, though. And I pray that the shock that I'm in, that you're going to get your share of shock, too. You're going to be shocked that God did this for you, and shocked that God did that for you, and shocked that God, and shocked that God delivered you from all those things. You're just going to be shocked all the way around. It's going to be so amazing and so awesome. Just get ready, friend. I mean, it's going to be so amazing. Yeah. All right. Trying to keep up with the offerings that are coming in. Thank everybody for giving to the Lord. Thanks for giving to the building fund. Those of you who, you know, want to do that, really cool. Really awesome. And I'm trying to make sure I get it all. Okay. Yes, I definitely can. Okay, I'm going to put that down. Angela, thank you so much. All right. Okay. Just trying to keep up with everything tonight. so awesome. I love going to see the Passion of the Christ this week. It's hard to watch that. That's a cool one, because when you're watching the Father allowing those people to whoop up on him like they did, oh, man. I can understand why the world thinks that's cruel and why God, if God allowed that, he's mean. I could see that, because they don't have God first, right? When you have God first, everything looks mean that God does, right? Yeah. So that's why we've got, one reason we've got to put God first is because when God speaks to you about things to do in obedience to him, whatever that is, then it's not going to seem mean. You're not going to be sitting there, for the most part, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. That's God wouldn't talk like that. God's not mean. Like Abraham, he would never ask me to offer up my own son, my only son, Isaac. That's crazy. That's mean. That's no. When you think God first, when God is first in your life, you don't think that at all. You think, hallelujah. That's a difficult one, Jesus, but yeah, we're going to do it, because you have life, and we don't have life anywhere else, and you're our God, and we're going to put you first. So whatever you say, you tell us that we're going to die. See, some people think, because you tell them that they could die for Jesus, they go, that's cruel, Randy. God's not going to do that. Well, it's happening all over the world right now today. People are dying for their faith. You better watch yourself, sweetheart, Bubba, because God may just deal with you about that and wake you up to some things. I hope he does. He's waking me up. I'm getting woke up. That's for sure. All right. Lord, I just speak healing and miracles over your people tonight. I declare and decree victory, victory, victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I release victory into your soul. I speak to your soul to start ringing the bells of victory. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, I loosen you into the realm of liberty. By the power of God, I speak the cleansing of the blood of Jesus over your sins and the sins of your father. Yes, your sins and the sins of your fathers. To be released, I speak the spirits of greed and lust that have been in your fathers who didn't know Jesus, maybe didn't know God, that they were greedy and lustful, and you just happened to get their DNA, and you struggled with that, you battled with that. Okay, I understand. Well, guess what? I'm speaking forgiveness over that tonight and release you from those sins, from the sins of the fathers. You give and you give and you give, and you ain't got nothing. Well, I'm not getting blessed, Randy. Yeah. Well, because you know what? The sins of your fathers. Well, I speak every curse, every spirit of poverty, and it came from the sins of the fathers in Jesus' name. I'm just not gonna rebuke the devil. Oh, the devil's gonna go when I feel the blood to forgive. And I speak to the blood of Jesus. Your sins are remitted you in Jesus' name. Just like when you speak healing to people. Same thing. Jesus said, what's easier to do? Speak healing or your sins are forgiven you? Well, either one's fine with me, but sometimes you gotta let people know what's making it work. Your sins are forgiven you. The sins of your fathers are forgiven. That greed and lust and hate. I speak the spirit of hate in Jesus' name. I had hate in my life. I probably passed hate down to some of my kids without realizing. I don't know where it came from back. I don't know anybody, you know, who hated, but I'm sure somebody back there did. I don't know, but it's there. It was in my life. I hated things. Hated people, some, a lot of them. I did. I just couldn't stand them. And it's amazing when God saves you. Yeah, you start loving people. It's just amazing. But that hate into my coming from my forefathers. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just speak forgiveness over that, for the hate in their life. In Jesus' name, you find yourself, I hate you. Oh, did I say I hate you? I'm a Christian. I can't say I hate you. Well, you just said it. Well, we're not condemning you. We're just saying, you know, hey, that thing's forgiving you. The sins of the, but it's not just your sin, the fruit that we want to deal with. We want to deal with the root. We're going back to the sins of the fathers. In Jesus' name, I release the sins of the fathers in your life of hate and greed and murder, that it is forgiven you and forgiven your seed, forgiven your father. Your sins are forgiven you. Now rise up and walk and love and bless and bring life and bring healing in the name of Jesus, and be blessed financially by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Glory to Jesus. Shikapa no ke geikre shikrako pa ma meko pa vote shikwero means nikdos na nikdoke pa kwa. Yeah, my Lord and my God, man. I mean, where are we going tonight already? Sins are being forgiven. The glory of God. Hallelujah. Coming in the earth. I mean, come on. We are so blessed, we don't even know it. Okay. I'm going to redo. Hang on a second, please. I'm going to redo my phone. It's acting up on me. Okay, I'm going to pray. We've been praying, haven't we? Yeah, we have. We've been preaching, praying, prophesying. Oh, yeah. I love it, man. It's just nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Let me get another drink here. Some water. Drink your water so you don't be dehydrated. Make sure and hydrate yourself. Hydrated, be hydrated. Be hydrated in Jesus' name. Be satisfied with the water of the life of God. Hallelujah. Be satisfied with the life and the water of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. I'm redoing my phone here real quick because it was giving me trouble. Let's see what it does now. I believe we might be better off now. Oh, yeah, I think it did. That worked. That did it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go here and check one more thing, and then we're going to start praying over offerings tonight. Thank you for not just giving, but thank you for wanting to give. Thank you for loving giving and loving giving to God. All right? We're gonna get us a building, man. It's going to be amazing, a studio. And that's just the beginning, friend. God's going to bless us so much during this troubled time. We're going to go, yeah, you know, I've seen the troubles outside, Brother Randy. I've seen it with my own eyes, but I'm not troubled. I go, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. I wonder what that means. That means that you're not appointed to wrath, man. You're going to see the wrath with your own eyes. You're going to watch it with your own eyes. And that's all for a reason. Well, when we get out of that, and you start seeing what God's showing me and showing you, to show you, oh, girlfriend and brother friend, get ready, because the friendship of God's about to be made manifest like you ain't never seen and like I ain't never seen, that's for sure. Yeah. All right, let's go here. I'm getting there. Give me just a second. Thank you. I know it's only 10:20, so we're not. The problem is the people, when we pray a lot of offerings, it takes a while to get there. So thank God it's all being archived. Okay, here we go. All right, let's double check here. Let's go here. Yeah, I got a lot of revelation to share with you. I'm really excited about it. Really, really excited. All the different things. We're in a season of learning. We're going to start preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, basically, in a nutshell. That's where we're going with it, the true gospel of Christ. It's going to really, be really interesting to see what that is. Right? Don't ask me, man. I'm just a servant boy. Okay, here we go. All right, so we're going to start praying over offerings tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for all of that. All right, Andrea, $5. Andrea put on their building fund. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for blessing her, God, for increasing her, for multiplying her. you know, let her sorrows be the sorrow, be godly sorrow, the sorrow of changing the things in the world that need to be changed so that people can receive the blessing of God. Thank you, Lord, that the sorrows of the world, the sorrows of the world will not be hers, but that the sorrow of God and godly sorrow will begin to penetrate through her being God and bring the spirit of repentance to our country, to our people, to the region that she's in Jesus' name. And so I thank you, Lord, for regional dealings with sin and unrighteousness. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, that the things that listen to this, Andrea, this is really cool. The things that the earth remembers, you know, that because the earth is alive and it groans and travails in pain together, right, until the sons of God and the daughters of God come forth. It has memories of things. And so God's going to start showing you the memories that the earth has. Like, I don't know if you're going to be going out and laying on the ground or not. I don't know what you're going to be doing. I don't know what this means exactly, except laying down on the ground and, like, you know, prostrate on the ground and just listening to the ground as a symbol of this. Hopefully when you get down, you can get back up, right? No, it's good. You know, so you are able to hear what the earth is crying out. Yeah, and I'm not saying you have to do that exactly. That's just kind of what I see going on. And hearing what the earth is crying out, what needs to be cleansed, what needs to be washed, and what needs to be forgiven. I've never heard that before in my life. Maybe that's somebody's done that before. I don't know. It makes sense. I've never heard that. First time ever. All right, Andrea, God's going to give you some of the things that the earth is in bondage over. And when the earth is in bondage of things, that means it creates an atmosphere. When the earth is in pain, it creates an atmosphere of pain. That's why things sometimes go crazy in the atmosphere with weather and all that kind of stuff. Right? Yeah, because the earth is groaning. The seas and the oceans are groaning, as we know. The skies are, you know, feeling the suffering of the earth and the atmosphere that the earth is releasing, and it kind of stirs up things. So the more we, I just realized something. Wow. The more we pray over things. Listen to this. I just got this. Anya, I think this is partially for you too. So Anya, $7. And then Anya, I forgot to pray for you last week. Sorry, I didn't realize. I think you gave $5 or $7 last week, too, so thank you for that. I think it's like $14 altogether. Bless you for that. Thank you. And so what I saw, Anya and Andrea, was Elijah. When Elijah began to pray for rain, he didn't get on the ground and groan so much, but he, well, in a sense he did, because he put his face between his knees. Try that on for size. He put his face between his knees. And I don't know if that's a birthing position or what that is exactly, but he was like bringing forth, you know, something from the earth, and the earth, you know, and he kept telling his servant to go look and see if the cloud was showing up yet. And after 7 times, could you imagine that, God telling you, keep looking when you don't see anything? Some people don't have the faith for that. I know our PGM people do. We got faith for that stuff. Just keep looking until you see the miracle. Yeah. Look, don't forget, keep looking. Elijah says, don't get discouraged, the servant. Boy, just keep looking, man. 7th time, he goes, there it is, size of a man's hand. Wow. And he was he had his face between his knees doing intercession on you and Andrea, bringing forth that thing out of the sea, maybe, or out of the ground. It wasn't the ground, the dirt and the water, but the water is the ground for the ocean floor, right? I mean, it is actually, you know, like Jesus walked on it. Jesus walked on it. And, so, man, I'm getting all kinds of revelation. I may stumble around tonight. We may be doing this for like 3 or 4 hours. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Awesome, man. Okay. Excuse me. Man, we're going to have like 5,000 done tonight. I mean, just tonight on its own. I'm serious. Looks like it so far. It's going to be close. This is blowing my mind. Hallelujah. I love it. It's really cool. All right. So, yeah, Andrea and Anya both. I mean, I just kind of got that. And listen to this, man. I just said that the waters in the ocean were like, you know, like when you're walking on the ground, the dirt, that's the ground. You know, when you're walking on the water, that is the ground for the ocean, right? It's, you know, the surface of the earth is the dirt, and the surface of the waters is, you know, water. So Jesus understood that the water was the ground, and then he just walked on it. Y'all get, I just got that in my spirit. I don't even understand what I just said. When I get so much revelation, I want to document it and get it all out in the open so you guys just be patient with me as I revelate tonight. Yeah. It's like you walk on the dirt, the ground, and so the ocean brought forth the cloud the size of a man's hand, right? That's what he said. He saw it coming out of there. I don't know how it happened exactly, but that's what he saw. So, so the surface of the ocean is like the ground of the surface of the earth, the dirt. Would you walk on that? And Jesus understood that, and he just walked on the water like it was the surface of the earth. It's like dirt, like the ground, except it was water. Anyway, I had to get that out before I get so much revelation, I have to get it out in the open. So there it is. Amen. Sally from UK, London. God bless you, Sally, Sally, Sally. Thank you for that $9. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I see over the UK, I see you like just, and over your community, over your family, over your family, that you're speaking over them that their sins are forgiven, that they are not guilty because of the blood of the Lamb. Now, if, you know, we got fathers, our forefathers. I don't know how much of your family is still alive, but you know, your forefathers, I mean, you know, great, 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 however far it goes back. You know, I mean, they're dead now, so they can't really ask for forgiveness because once you die, now that Christ has given his life, now when you die, that's it. You're sealed. Your doom is sealed. You're going to heaven or hell, whatever the other. So that's whatever done with all that. And so it's not anything about people going to heaven, but we do speak to the sins of those fathers that are dead, right? And say you're not guilty. Why? Because once Jesus forgives us, because you are now carrying their blood, right? You're carrying their blood in you, right? Is that correct? So Sally, because you're carrying their blood in you, and they're, most of them are, you know, your father, mother and father, grandfather, grandmother, and on generation, they're dead, right? You know, yeah. So, but their blood is in you, but because it's in you, you have the power to speak, you know, I'm not guilty, they're not guilty, even though it's too late for them to degrade with that guilt, that's sad, but you have the power because it's in you, and you can affect that sin by saying, I'm not guilty. This, I don't carry the sins of my father's sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. There's no more guilt. There's no more poverty. There's no more, they're, you know,
All their stuff is forgiven in Jesus' name. And because you're carrying it, you have that power to do it. You can't forgive somebody's sins for them, at least for getting saved. You can't do that. We can't do that. You know, I can't walk to somebody and say, your sins are forgiven and you're saved. I can speak their sins are forgiven them and speak freedom over them so they can think clear to receive Jesus, right? From the sins of the fathers who have maybe hated Christ in some people's life, into witchcraft and all kinds of nonsense, and they're struggling so bad they can't figure out why do I hate Jesus? I don't even know him. I mean, I thought, you know, why do I hate Jesus? And then you walk up to him and you go, in Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven you. Your father's, you know, the sins of your father are forgiven. And all of a sudden they go, oh, wow, what was that? The blood gets forgiven, the demons start coming out, and they start thinking straight so that they can receive Christ. Are y'all with me on this or not? Y'all are hiding out over there. You're not letting me know what you're thinking. It's okay. You don't have to, but, you know, yeah. I mean, I think this is awesome, personally. Wow. Well, there you go, Sally. Hey, don't ask me where that came from. I mean, it didn't come from me because I don't have that. That's coming from the Lord. He's speaking to you for your freedom and your prosperity because I see you prospering, girl. My God, I see the glory of God loosened on you and your money just multiplying and increasing because of the sins of the fathers that have hindered that and that have grieved that and that have stopped that. Hallelujah. They have been forgiven. And Jesus saying, no more struggle, no more battle, no more struggling with money issues and poverty and barely making it and struggling, battling, and being a slave at all these different companies and blah, 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 and on. So he can loosen you to prosper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come forth, girl. I said come forth in Jesus' name. Be prosperous, be blessed, because the sins of your fathers, they are forgiven. And you need to speak that over your own fathers. And, you know, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, and all the fathers, going back to Adam and Eve, whatever. Whatever ones that you're connected to in your bloodline. You can't do it for any other bloodline. You can do it for yours. Now, you can do it for other people, you know, in intercession. And like I was talking about, I don't want to make sure I confuse you. I don't want to confuse you. But you have the power over your own blood. And we have the power over other people's blood, too. But we can't make them. We can't speak forgiveness with them and then be saved. They have to get saved because they have to receive Christ. Okay, we're going to get into all that here in the future. Maybe you'll be able to hear that. But, amen, girl. I mean, listen to that. That was hot. Yeshua. Yeshua. Yes, you are, Yeshua. Yeshua. That's an amen and a hallelujah. All right, Shalonda, $10. Yeah, amen and hallelujah to you too, girl. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen and hallelujah to you. That's what I hear. That's what I hear an angel, like an angel that came to Gabriel, who came to Mary and said, hail, I don't know, I can't remember what he said right now, but he made a greeting. And I hear the Lord just saying, you know, hallelujah to you. Hallelujah to you. Praises be to God. Praise be to God. To you. Praise be to God to you. And I see your hair on fire. I do. I see your hair on fire. I see your head on fire. Don't worry, your hair's not going to burn up. I know you know that. But, you know, I see your head on fire like your hair's on fire. What's that? Usheke, usheke, banda, panoa, chica. Your head, your thinking, your mind, your will, your emotion, your soul. Hallelujah, being the altar. There's an altar of flame, flaming up in your soul. When you sing and worship and give praise to God and give your will to the Father, it's going to stoke up a hot flame of glory to God. And when you offer up your sins and the sins of the fathers, whoever sins you're offering up, your neighbors, and you saying, God, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, whatever the thing is. Hallelujah. That's going to be a hot offer, man. I see some flaming stuff going on. God, we call it barbecue. God calls it an altar with offerings on it. Yeah. My God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Angela from South Carolina. $10 building fund. Another $10 building fund. I think there was two of them. I might have mixed that up. But okay, say pray for David, your dad. All right.
you know, I just speak over your father, your dad, in Jesus' name. Whatever sins are affecting him, whether it be his, we all have sins, that sometimes people, little sins, big sins, whatever the sins are, that's the root of the issue on every in every situation, you know, as far as, you know, what's affecting us. As Jesus says, son, for the glory of God, which he said had nothing to do with sin, but we'll talk about that too later. But I speak over David tonight, your dad, in Jesus' name, and I speak the sins of the fathers, and the things that have held you bound in bondage and slavery and feeling like you're things you can't get free of in your mind, David, and though you want to, though you desire to, I speak over you tonight in Jesus' name that your sins are forgiven you, the sins of your fathers. This is not about your sin and somebody trying to point out your sin. We're all sinners, David, my brother. This is about God releasing you from the sins of the fathers, from the slavery and bondage and the corruption that comes through human flesh. You know, when people abuse people, they have all kinds of issues. If they're not saved and really turn on to Jesus, they can really turn, you know, hurtful and be very harmful. And that gets passed down. And some people don't even realize they'll be affected by what their fathers did. They don't even realize it. And you know what? You are a blessing. I speak blessing over you. I speak life over you. I speak that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, grave, where's your sting? Oh, grave, death, where's your victory? Something like that. I speak in Jesus' name that death will be swallowed up in victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And over Angela. Thank you, Angela, for being a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for giving Angela the power to lay her life down. You know, God has to give you power to lay your life down. Jesus said the Father had given him power to lay his life down. And it takes the power of God to lay our life down because it is not something that we just do because we just feel like it. It's something God blesses us. It's something God empowers us with. God is empowering you and teaching you, showing you how to lay your life down, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever. Abraham laid his life down when he offered up his son. That's a realm of laying down your life. You know, people laying down their life to let others have their way for a season, knowing that God's going to restore, and you lay down your life and let them have their way. Turn the other cheek, knowing that God's going to take care of it. It takes power for God to lay that down. And when you do that, God resurrects you, raises you up. In the name of Jesus, I speak that God is raising you up in the sins of the fathers in your family line. Whatever, in Jesus' name, they are forgiven, they are cleansed, they are washed. Just like renewing the mind, we have to renew our bloodline. You know, renew it. Let God engraft or wash our bloodline with his precious blood, the blood of Jesus. Amen. All right, Destiny from North Carolina, $10. Thank you, Destiny. In Jesus' name, Father, I speak in Jesus' name, your sins forgiven, the sins of your fathers forgiven. All the bondage and things that come through your bloodline, in Jesus' name, I release you from those bondages. In Jesus' name, I release rebellion. In Jesus' name, I release pain and heartache and unforgiveness and hate. In Jesus' name, the sins of the fathers, I release you. Your father's, your sins of the fathers are forgiven. In Jesus' name, they are washed clean from your life. Now you can. It's not going to be as much of a battle for you to prosper and be blessed and have a family and do good. And have a good family and raise your family and raise a family in godliness and righteousness. In Jesus' name, come forth, Destiny, and live in Jesus' name. I speak for you that everything dead in you is coming alive. Everything dead in you, things you've given up on, things that I speak life. I speak resurrection. I'm just not going to resurrect you physically. God's speaking to you. I'm resurrecting you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Hallelujah. Come forth in Jesus' name and live. And I destroy everything that would destroy you in Jesus' name. Everything that would try to destroy you, I speak destruction to it in Jesus' name. You're going to see the reward of the wicked. Amen. In order for those people to be wicked, we have to give them every chance to forgive them, love them, do good to them. And then when they still do it, then that's wickedness. And then God will let you see the reward of the wicked. Amen. So there you go. All right, Maureen, $10. God bless you, Maureen. In Jesus' name, Lord, I speak to Maureen tonight. God, I thank you, Maureen. I speak in her life, God, the forgiveness of sins of the fathers. In Jesus' name, I release forgiveness into your bloodline, into your physical being, into your DNA. All that produces what it's producing in your body, in your thinking, in your mind. In Jesus' name, I release forgiveness in Jesus' name. The blood of Christ released in Jesus' name. Every bit of pain, every bit of heartache, every bit of physical confusion, like confusion in the nervous system realm, in the nervous system, confusion in the nervous system. I speak to the nervous system to be straightened out and lined out in Jesus' name and think clearly, that your nervous system will flow beautifully and that you'll be able to, your brain will be able to think clearer because your nervous system is now going to compute data in a clear fashion in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And bless her money room, God, in Jesus' name. Bless her money room in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Felicia, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Felicia. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I bless that. The $15. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for the coming of Christ, for Christ's coming in Jesus' name to purify your heart and your soul, looking unto the coming of Christ. And people think the coming of the Christ, hear these pre-trib people. Oh, the coming of Christ. If you're not looking for that, you're not being purified. I'm going like, you don't even understand what you're saying. The coming of Christ is him coming every day in your life. Yes, the second coming, but that has nothing to do with the pre-trib. It's the second coming, expecting his coming, expecting him to come to the earth. But it's more than that. It's looking to him like the five wise virgins. Felicia, God's teaching you how to be a wise virgin because they were ready. They were prepared. They had the oil. And when the announcement came, here he is. They were ready to enter in. Hallelujah! They were not caught off guard. And God's going to show you that delivery from many fears of any kind of being caught off guard by anything. You know, whether it be accidents from people and things and family things, it keeps you from being caught off guard in any fashion or form. So I speak over somebody. I don't know who this is. Somebody having. In your left, behind your left shoulder blade, there's something going on there. And I speak healing right now and restoration to that shoulder blade. I believe on the left-hand side, it may be coming from something inside your body, but God is healing that right now. Whoever that is, I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's Felicia or who that is, but I felt that as I was praying just now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, you're teaching her how to be prepared. You're teaching her how to be a wise virgin, a wise virgin. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up the dimension of wisdom for her in the name of Jesus. Let her flow in that and live in that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you be ready to enter into your miracles, your breakthroughs, not just the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ, our expectation for that is, yes, his second coming, but looking for him every day. You know, it's like Elijah told the servant, go look again. We've got to keep looking. There's something about looking that keeps us awake and alive and ready. Amen? Yeah. All right. And to do that for other people, too. Amen. Mahogany, $17. Thank you, Mahogany, for that. And just bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Mahogany. I thank you, Lord, for speaking life into her hands, the things that she touches with her fingers, the things she touches with her the palms of her hands, and Jesus, with her hands. In Jesus' name, I speak blessing flow through her. I speak healing, resurrection power flowing through her. And the Lord says, start expecting healing virtue to flow through your hands. Start expecting it. Start expecting rewards of God's, your prayer life, your seeking God, your groanings unto the Lord. Expect that, the manifestation of God's breakthroughs in the hands, in your hands. Touch things and bless and pray for people and talk to people, just loving people and, you know, whatever your hands touch, your computer, you're doing at work, whatever you're working at, in Jesus' name, when you're working at things, in Jesus' name, let the work, the things that she touches, be blessed, God. Hallelujah. She be blessed in her going in or coming out. She blessed as she goes, blessed as she comes, blessed in whatever her hand touches. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessing and prosperity. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Gary and Mary, $18. Thank you, Gary and Mary. Dear Mary, I always send a scripture. Let's look at that. Okay. Let's go here. Gary always sends a scripture here. Building fund, he says. Okay. It's $18 for building fund. Thank you. As we prepare, there's prepare to celebrate Passover this Saturday, March the 27th, the 14th day of Nisan,
beginning at twilight, also the day of our Lord Jesus Christ's passion, we read God's prophetic word, Exodus 12, verse 1 through 3, NIV. Verse 1 says, or verse 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month, Nisan, is to be for you the first month. There's the first month, the beginning of things, the first month of your year, right? Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day, Palm Sunday of this month, Nisan, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household, Exodus 12, 6 through 8. You know what I mean? Take care of them, take care of the lamb, keep the lamb until the 14th day of the month, Christ's Passion, the Lamb of God, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight, which is before the sun goes down, before the entrance to the time of the night. Then, I'm saying that, he's not saying it. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the side of the top of the doors, the sign of the cross, and the houses where they eat lamb. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And that's kind of what this thing is about now. I'm talking about. I'm sensing a sense of haste. Like, be ready to get out of Egypt. Be ready to break through. Be ready to pass over. Right? All right. Exodus 12 to 14, NIV. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Well, we were talking about earlier. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Look, that was wrath, too. Oh, that wasn't wrath. Oh, it was wrath. Yeah, so it talks about wrath many times when you read those scriptures in there. Okay, when I strike Egypt, this is a day you are to commemorate, for the generations to come shall celebrate it as the festival of the Lord, a lasting ordinance. As we celebrate the festival of Passover, we observe this sanctity of communion, where we eat of the new covenant, our Lord's body, and drink the cup of his blood, who became the Passover lamb of God. For all who believe, unto eternal life, praise God, happy Passover, shalom, Gary, and Mary. Amen. All right, a lot of reading there, good stuff, praise God. All right, so, and also Gary had some really cool things. We're going to share that. I'm going to share that next week with about Gary's breakthrough. We got time to share a testimony about that. I'm going to share a testimony Gary has about some numbers and things that, that were. He's celebrating to, Passover will be a time where he has his 1 year, on March 27th, the Passover day for this year. It's a year since he's had his surgery, right? He's celebrating that anniversary, celebrating the hour of the day of Passover. The year, it's been a year since he had his, I'm gonna mess this up because I'm not ready for this. It's been a year since he's had his surgery. And the numbers on this are really cool. I'm going to get them to you where you can, where we have time to go through this. It's amazing, the numbers here and the situation. We're going to talk about it and give that testimony. But today, celebrating their year from that tumor being removed and opening up the way for him to be able to fully breathe, eat, and taste food, right? That all happened a year ago on Passover, March the 27th, 14th day of the sun on the Hebrew calendar. And he had a 13-hour surgery. We're going to talk about all this later, but this is really amazing. I got that testimony out here so I can share it. We'll do that later on a day that's not Thursday. But hallelujah, there's things coming together, y'all. And miracles are happening. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Gary and Mary. God, I thank you, Father, for the celebration of life. I see you guys celebrating life like never before. Like celebrating life, just celebrating life. There's a whole celebration thing of life. And so even though we celebrate the death of Jesus through communion, what we're doing, we're celebrating death. Because when you celebrate the death of through communion, when we take communion, to eat his blood, eat his flesh and drink his blood, we are celebrating the fact that we have, that he has, our inheritance has been released because our brother, our blood kin died and has an inheritance. Once he dies, the inheritance is released to us. And so there's something about that, the inheritance, Gary, some kind of inheritance being released to you. And so God's going to bless you with some inheritance in an amazing fashion. And it's more than just, I don't know about your national heritage. I don't know what kind of inheritance that it is. But it's going to be, it's going to surprise you what God's going to do. And it's going to open up doors for you to, in your faith realm, to be able to bring people to celebrate the death of Christ so that they can, enter into the life of Christ. In other words, celebrate the fact that all my sins are paid for, all my diseases are paid for, and you just receive them, and you're going to help people receive the death of Christ for the celebration of their new life, of their new body parts, of their new way of thinking, of their new life, of their being born again in Jesus' name, and celebrating life. But it all comes from celebrating death, the death of communion, the death of Christ in Jesus' name. Something about that, I just saw that happening in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's a lot of words there for you and Mary, but God bless you and Mary. Thank you, Lord, for Mary. God, I thank you, Father, for her heart that carries things, that Mary's heart carries things. And I thank you, Jesus, for the carrier, that she's a carrier. And in Jesus' name, and because just like Christ took upon himself, not just the sin of the world, but he took upon himself, the Father's will. And when you're able to take on burdens, burdens are not sad things. Burdens are things that God wants you to do. So I see God, developing that in y'all together, but in Mary, being a carrier, like a woman carries the baby, right? The man doesn't carry the baby. The woman carries the baby. God has made women to carry the burden, the blessing of the word of the Lord, the seed of Christ, the seed of the womb, to carry that. He's made you to carry it. That's what women are made to make, to carry the fruit and the burden of the word of the Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for that, and open them up to that, God, in Jesus' name. Bring all that together. Amen and hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to talk about a lot more about Gary. Gary has a testimony. We're going to share that next week. We have more focus. Hey, you're going to love it. It's really, really, really cool. And the numbers and things that lined up there with that. All right. God bless you guys. All right. Angela Joy, Building Fund, $20. Thank you, Angela Joy. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for Angela. Thank you, Gary and Mary. Thank you, too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. Angela, the word of the Lord. I sense there's a new realm of the word of the Lord coming up in you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I see you speaking death to death. Death to death to bring life to a life. Death to death. In other words, anything that is of death in the body or in the soul, in the mind, anything that's of death, like poverty, like sickness, like disease, like mental illness, I see you speaking death to that or cursing the root of it. In Jesus' name, and then speaking forth the life of God. Hallelujah. Speaking forth the life of God. Amen. In Jesus' name. And opening up that dimension for people to be able to walk in that place to where, because some people, they don't know how to do it for themselves. So they need someone to come in as a priest who stands before the Father and speak judgment on something. That's part of the judge thing. A judge speaks death to, there's an evil person that's not repentant, not getting right. Judges send those people to prison with great happiness because he gets them out of society. But the same thing we do with people with their minds, with their soul. We condemn the thing that is condemning them.
to release life so they can live a free life in Jesus' name. Amen. If the judges only knew, if they knew they had the power through Christ to speak forgiveness into the bloodline and forgive their sins, they'd probably watch a lot of miracles happen right in their courtroom. Amen. I mean, this message is really starting to go through me. And I think God's really going to show you, Angela Joy, some power of forgiveness of sin, the power of bringing death. You know, in other words, something that is killing somebody, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, to speak to the root of it and command it to shrivel up and die so that it can bear the fruit of Christ and bring blessing and prosperity to people. In Jesus' name, amen, as a judge, like a judge would do in the courtroom. And then, wow, amazing. The power of the judge. There's a judge thing again. Really cool. Angela Joy. Angela Judge. Man, we need good judges, right? Yeah, we do. We need judges. Angela J. I got Angela J, right? I just changed her name to Angela Judge. The righteous judge. The judge of righteousness. Amen. Cheryl, $20. Thank you, Cheryl. The building fund. I think you said it was for building fund. God bless you for that. I appreciate that. Thank you in Jesus' name, and just bless her, Lord, for that building fund that makes that $20 turn into $40. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for blessing her. Thank you, Father, for I just see things disappearing. I see things disappearing, like getting lost, things that get lost. God's going to help you find the things that have been lost in your life, but he's also going to let things get lost that are messing with you. In other words, like wake up and it's gone. Like the Bible says, Jesus comes like a thief, Cheryl. He's not a thief, but the Bible says in Thessalonians that he comes as a thief. Just Google Jesus as a thief, and it'll take you to the scripture in Thessalonians. It says he comes as a thief in the night. What does the thief take? A thief takes things that are not his. So Jesus is going to take things out of your life that are not his. They're going to disappear. He's going to take them out like a thief in the night. He's going to remove them. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just like God's going to remove the wicked from the earth. Like a thief in the night, he's going to take them out. Get them out of here. He's going to take things that don't belong in. That he's going to, you know, sad to say, he's going to lock them out. But they'll have plenty of chance, believe me. God is a righteous judge. And God's really going to show you that too, Cheryl, that he's a righteous judge. And that, amen. Amen. God bless you. All right, Jeannie, $25. Thank you, Jeannie. Jeannie. Yeah. I just sense this spirit of freedom. I see a lot of the realm of authority coming in upon your shoulders, especially upon your left shoulder for some reason. I don't know why your left shoulder, but I have a clue what that means. But especially on your left shoulder, bearing the authority of Christ in Jesus' name. I see you like getting confident in God. Being a just God and being a God who, when he says he's going to do something, that he does it, which opens you up to the realm of authority. Because, you know, when you start really knowing at another level, at a higher level, that he's going to do what he says and he does what he says and you watch him do it, then that solidifies it, the authority of God in you. And when God says something, you just believe it, right? We already kind of do, but we kind of waver sometimes. I know I do. It's certain things. Some things I believe instantly, I know. Other things I waver until God strengthens my faith and he starts building me up and showing me. And I come to the point where I get strong in that area. I go, okay, I believe it's done. By the authority of Christ Jesus, it is a done deal. Amen. Because, you know, just like with Moses, God did miracles for Moses, like the rod and the healing that he did, because he needed it. And once he got it, what he did? He didn't need it anymore. He took off to the most powerful nation in the world at that time and took advantage of God's power after he got confirmation. And his authority level his belief system just kicked in, man. It was amazing. And that's what I see happening with you. Yeah. To go and, you know, deal with Egypt. Amen. Bianca, $30. Thank you, Bianca, for that 30. And, I don't know if you said building fund or not, I can't remember. But thank you for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just bless you, bless Bianca tonight. And, Lord, I just release your favor to her. that she will, the spirit of discernment, that her discerning and her ability to speak judgment to things that are trying to judge her. The Isaiah 57, verse 17, I think Isaiah 54, 17 says that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. And God's going to show you how to condemn tongues that rise against you in judgment, the people that judge you, sometimes even the tongues that try to, in your mind, try to make you judge yourself unrighteously in a bad fashion, in the wrong way, like judge yourself, and therefore judging yourself, you come up short because of the judgment that you judge yourself of. You know, this happens to me all the time. I deal with a lot of times the thoughts that I'm taking captive from my own thoughts to tell me, trying to judge me of mine, because I know me really well, and I'm just a regular guy, believe me. I just happen to be turning on to Jesus and believing God. And, you know, so I have to constantly remind myself, as every great man of God and every regular man of God and every great woman of God and every regular woman of God has ever had to do, just no different. You look all through the Bible, you see it. So dealing with the judgment, sometimes the judgment means something final in the authority realm. And God is wanting you to learn that the only true and living judge is Christ Jesus, the Lord, and he judges us with what he did for us. God judges us according to how he judged Jesus. And that is, he paid for everything, every sin, every failure, every mistake, everything. We do not come up short because we've got Jesus as the one who the Father looks at. Amen. And plus, we are now reborn, completely born again. So he can have you deal with the judgment realm of how, and then you're going to see yourself being able to judge things, judge circumstances, judge situations, interpret them at a higher level, where you just interpret things like, oh, yeah, okay. Because if you misinterpret things, like we all do, like Joseph did for many years, it messes you up. You come short of understanding what God's trying to do. But when you start interpreting or judging things correctly, then you start seeing them. Oh, yeah, I see what's going on. And it doesn't get you down so much because you see God doing something in the middle of it. So I just release that into your life in Jesus' name. And that you're going to eat of the good of the land. The Lord said you're going to eat of the good of the land. The good of the land, not the bad, not the mediocre, the good of the land. Yeah, you're going to eat, Bianca, you're going to eat of the good of the land. Amen. All right. Sandra, $30, building fund. Thank you, Sandra, for that. Sandra's one of our PGN ministers, comes on the weekend sometimes. Thank you, Sandra, for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for the building. I see building. I see a building going on, building relationship, building things, building stuff, things being built like it's a building time. Sometimes we go through tear down season, and I see God, you know, God allows sometimes things to be torn down so he can rebuild us. But I see, you know, God's been digging around your foundation and adding to your foundation, and God is about to build you. You're going to see building. You're going to feel built up. You're going to feel like you are the building of the Lord. You are the temple of God. And God is building you as a temple, as a place where people will come to go, you know, what's God saying? What's God doing? They would come to the temple to find out what God was doing and what God was saying. And so people are going to come to you. They're going to find out, you know, what's God saying? What's God doing? And thank you, Jesus, for that, and open her up to that realm of wisdom, like he gave Solomon, to be able to judge God's people, to bring, you know, the reason God blessed Solomon so much is because he asked for wisdom to judge God's people, right? Isn't that amazing? There's a judge thing again. Wow. To judge God's people. Wow. That's pretty cool. I love that. Amazing. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the knowledge to judge your people in Jesus' name, and the blessing that came on and Solomon, coming on Sandra. We're going to call her Solomon. We'll call her Salandra or something. I don't know. Like Solomon. So thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to that, Father, in Jesus' name. And she's going to judge by your supernatural virtue and visitations. Hallelujah. All right, Nikki and Charles, $85. Pray for Sue, our land, our home, Joshua, plus Charles and me, of course, and building fund. Thank you for the building fund thing. That just turned into double $85. So thank you, Jesus, for Sue. That's her mama. I think that's who it is. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for Sue tonight, God. We thank you for letting all this stuff she's going through, God, to bring humility, to bring forgiveness and love, and God, bring the reverential awe and fear of God in a way that she's never had before. In Jesus' name, let that begin to penetrate her life and let her see that her heritage is a blessing. In fact, I'm not just going to curse speak forgiveness over the father's sins, but I'm going to speak over Sue's life the things of a heritage that are godly heritage, that her godly heritage come forth in Jesus' name, and that her ungodly heritage, whatever we all have both, and I speak to her ungodly heritage, that there's forgiveness of sin, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness in Jesus' name, and disconnect her, Father, and bring blessing to her because she wants to love and give people wisdom. She wants to give people wisdom. Sue wants to give people wisdom. She's into giving people the truth, the wisdom. And so, Lord, give her your wisdom, God, in Jesus' name, to be able to give that to people and bring life to her and protection. Amen. And their land, you know, we pray for the land. In Jesus' name, bring the fruit to that in the time of fruit, in the season of fruit, which I think is quite pretty close. When the fruit begins to come forth, the trees begin to bud. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, and their home and all the buildings. It's a season of building. It's a season of finding land and property and homes. It's a season of Canaan. That's what it is. So this is the right season for this. So I just declare and decree it. In Jesus' name, let it be exceeding abundantly above all they can ask or think or even imagine, according to the power that works within them. In Jesus' name. And over Josh, Lord, pray over Joshua. Thank you, Jesus, for Joshua. I speak into Joshua's bloodline in Jesus' name, and I speak forgiveness of sin, of the father's sins, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven you. Because when you bear those sins in your bloodline, even though you may not be doing that particular sin, that sin is in your bloodline, therefore it's connected to you. So Jesus said, Satan had nothing in me. Yeah, so there's nothing to forgive for Jesus because he had nothing in him. But we all have that sins of the fathers in us. So I speak forgiveness, Joshua, and I release you from the sins of the father, and your sins and the sins of the father. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. They are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, you will not be held accountable for the sins of the fathers because of the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Be raised up, be blessed, be favored, come forth in Jesus' name and shine brightly the light of God with the season in Jesus' name. Charles and Nikki, we pray for them in Jesus' name. Father, I declare and decree that I hear an echo like an echo in Jesus' name. Echo is something that when you say something once, it just keeps repeating the same thing. You know, echo is hello, goes hello, 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 hello. But it's like it traveling and moving. And they're repeating, like when they say something once, it gets echoed. Let that begin to multiply and increase. Let their words begin to travel. Let their words begin to be accelerated and, whatever that means, I'm not sure. The echo effect, I've given that word before, but I don't know where I've given that at. But in Jesus' name, let the echo effect, Father, that their voices be travel and their voices be heard, in Jesus' name, amen. What's done in the closet will be heard in the mountaintops or on the tops of the houses or whatever it is. In Jesus' name, bless that. Open that up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Noel, $100 building fund. Thank you, Noel. Noel got that building fund thing down because she's tired of it. Thank you, Noel. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for see all this stuff now, Noel, is in the remembrance realm of God. Right, the day you had us suggested that, and we took that on. That now that's all memory. It's all in the memory, and it's memory that when we have blessing memories, those blessing memories always overshadow the other ones and wash them away. You know, wash away the memories that are in our, things that the like this is going to be something that's going to be put in your bloodline, right? It's going to be accounted to you. That's why we tell people that what they give, even though they give $5, they get accounted for $10 under the Lord, right? Can't do that in the tax write-off, but we can do it. But nobody really cares about that business, but it is accounted to them before God. Like your $100 now is $200. So that's a memory that's there, that's recorded, and it's in your bloodline. Your blood heard all that. Your blood knows that. It's in your bloodline. And that's what you're going to pass down and pass through, you know, into your family, much less what goes on in this time now and in the millennium. Praise God. Hopefully we'll enter that within a 10-year period, so maybe sooner than 10, somewhere around 10. Something like that. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. I bless her. I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, increase her, multiply her, let all these memories, let all these things that are recorded now in the bloodline, in the life, and the fact that she activated that, let that be something echoes through the land and echoes through her land and through her atmosphere and through her life and brings blessing. Now her blood will cry out. Reap what you sow, reap what you sow, reaping, blessing, harvest. Because the blood cries out and goes, yeah, the increase is still going on, multiplication, moving on, moving forward. In Jesus' name, give her the wisdom of Solomon, God, the wisdom of Solomon that is already in her. Let that begin to come forth so that people can see the prosperity of God and the wisdom that you give in the well, Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Regina, $100, also building fund. Thank you, Regina, for that. We just speak increase, and I don't know if you sent. I don't think. Give me a second. Okay. Yeah, you just put building fund in there. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the building fund and for Regina. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father. Father, for seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Regina, and all those other things will be added to you. You're coming as of today. I'm declaring over you all those other things are being added to you now. I declare that. I decree it. All those other things are being added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things that you need, that you're praying about, that you're believing God for, the things that need to show up in your life, that need to show up in your money, that need to show up in your favor. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. The people that need to be in your life, that all those things are going to be added to you. I speak the adding to in Jesus' name. Adding to in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like Job sought first the kingdom of God during that whole time he went through that trouble, that situation, and God added to him. Boy, did he ever add, he doubled him. I speak double to Regina tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Amen. LaShun, $100 and then $20. Building fund. Just pray for God opportunities, believing and trusting God in me, she says, in herself. Amen. That's where we believe God. That's really cool. If you believe in God and everybody else, it doesn't work, LaShun. So thank you, Jesus, for the shine. God, I'm speaking for wisdom, that God gives you wisdom from above, not just the wisdom of the earth, but wisdom from above, that God will give you wisdom from above to impart to people. Wisdom is practical information on how to handle things, how to deal with things. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the opportunities. I declare and decree opportunity for her, God. Hallelujah. Oh, Hasheki Ome Ne Shenko Pado Kaha Paprama Mosheki Hati 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 Hati. Unity, opportunity. God's tuning your you speak of the word opportunity. Opportunity. It's like God is tuning you in to unity. And he's bringing you to unity with him. When you're one with God, nobody can separate you from that. Right? Therefore, you're going to be blessed no matter what. So I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity that she's tuned in to unity with you, God, being one with you, meaning that you do what God says, when God tells you, the way he says you do it, and then, therefore, the opportunity comes forth, the opportunity. In Jesus' name, let the opportunity come forth in the name of Jesus. May her remembrance, God, may you give her, I see God giving you new memories, replacing memories of pain with memories of gain. Memories of gain. In other words, how to gain favor, how to multiply, how to increase, how to gain the Father's way. Amen, in Jesus' name. And I speak that over your life right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Jesus' name, Son. You are blessed. I speak over you the sins of the fathers, the sins that have been passed down from disunity, from disharmony, all the things that try to bring strife and contention from the fathers passed down to you in Jesus, that is forgiven. The sins of the fathers are forgiven in Jesus' name. Rebellion, unforgiveness, disharmony, divorce, being disabled in Jesus' name in many different ways. In Jesus' name, I speak those sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus, in your fathers, in the sins of the fathers. In Jesus' name, forgiven. Hallelujah. Bring unity, God. Replace all that with unity. Oneness with God, oneness with his people, oneness with her mate, oneness with the Lamb of God, the Shepherd, the Husband, Jesus Christ, and one with her financials in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That special oil be poured out through her in Jesus' name onto other people. So when she prays for people, they'll be blessed financially too. Amen. Amen. Donald and Tanya from Florida, $200 building fund. Amen. God bless you, Donald and Tanya, in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Be favored. May the favor of God in you awaken. What I see awakening in you is the true reality of God's favor. It's going to make your head swell a little bit. I'm just going to tell you right now, your head's going to swell. That's just what happens. Your head swells, but not with pride and arrogance, but with confidence. And it's going to overwhelm you. People are saying, man, what happened to you? You're getting a little cocky. It ain't cocky, man. It's rocky. When God did that with Joseph, Joseph's head got big. Not big with pride so much, but big with confidence. And when you get big with confidence, it causes all kinds of problems, especially around the people that haven't seen you like that. And confidence is pure faith. And I'm speaking this over both of you in Jesus' name. Double confidence, double confidence in Jesus' name, and y'all's head's going to get big with confidence. Amen. Sometimes our head's not big enough as far as with confidence. And so I'm declaring and decreeing in you, what's going to awaken in you is the favor of God in you, the God has favored you. He's awakening you with favor. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means knowing, hey, my daddy really, you're not just going to be talking about you feel favored. No, you're going to like, yeah, I know I'm favored. Yeah, ain't no doubt about it, man. I used to wonder, I used to think, I hope I was. The Bible says I am, but no, my daddy, he told me I am. Oh, my daddy, just like Joseph's daddy, says, yeah, your favorite son, put that robe on him. And he got the big head for sure. But people thought it was pride. But I believe it was pure confidence. And that pure confidence sent him straight to the top, man. Yes, it did. And it helped him get through his discouragements and troubles. Amen. In Jesus' name, that's where you're telling you. In the name of Jesus, bless you, God, double with that. May you have double confidence. Amen. That's what Joseph got. Joseph got double confidence. And believe me, it rubs people raw. It rubs them the wrong way. I guarantee you, it rubs them the wrong way. And we have to learn to adjust to that. Them being rubbed the wrong way, that is. And how to deal with it. Because it's how we deal with it, you know, that makes things work. All right. Terrence and Tanisha, $207.47. And then $26, thank you guys for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name for the music room. I thank you for the whole song of the Lord, the song of the Lord in Terrence and Tanisha. I speak to the terrible two in the music room. You know, I didn't get to see it, but they had, what's her name? The Queen of Soul. Aretha Franklin. Can't think of anything. Aretha Franklin. They were celebrating her. I think she had a movie on this week. I didn't get to see any of it, but you know. Anyway, so God's kind of the Queen and King of Soul, of music for the that feeds the soul and resurrects the spirit. In other words, resurrecting the spirit means people being born again. The music of the soul. To get people born again, to get them right with God. Because when you have music, when you have things and a rhythm in your sound, in your voice, it's not necessarily that, I don't know if Tanisha can sing or not. I can't remember if she told me she's good or not. If Terrence told me she's good or not. It doesn't matter anyway. But the thing is that
it's the music that's in your soul. Even when you're talking or teaching or ministering or loving Jesus or giving a testimony, people can hear the angels singing when you're talking, because it's the music in there. It's the music. The angels, you know, Satan, Lucifer was the king of soul in heaven, right? So God's looking for people in the earth that will give him the glory and never rebel from him, that will be the king of soul, of the soul and the spirit of God's people, for God's people, because Satan got thrown down, right? Now God's looking for those who will take his place. And so when you got music in your soul, you got worship in your soul, it comes out, even if you can't sing, it comes out through your life, through your words. Amen. To what you do, music. Hallelujah. The rhythm, the heartbeat, the thing that, oh, because music, like when David played the harp, that music just, there's such a blessing on music that it opens up the soul and runs off the devil. Even if it's just temporary running off the devil, like with Saul, so that people can get saved. And once they get saved, then the devil can't come back. Right? Yeah. So sometimes the anointing temporarily releases people so that during that temporary moment, they can get sober-minded and go, okay, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Or I want to get back right with Jesus. Right? That's what that music does. It runs off the enemy, so that people can get that demon off their back so they can think straight and get saved. Once they get saved, Saul can get saved, right? Because he wasn't there. But when the demons left him, they just came back the next day. That bloodline thing was part of it. But when people today, that demon leaves their head for a moment with that music, then they get saved, and then the devil tries to come back, and he can't come back, right? Because they got saved. Oh, too late. Saved. Too late, got right with God. Too late, got right with Jesus. Too late. Too late. I don't know what the too late thing. I keep hearing the word too late. Too late, devil. Too late. Too late, baby, now it's too late. Yeah, it's too late, Satan. It's too late. Instead of telling, you know, the five foolish virgins, it was too late for them. But it's this sense we're talking about, is too late. Too late. It can be too late for people, but it's going to be too late for the devil. Amen in Jesus' name. I see something written across this. Too late. Too late, Satan. You lost out. No, we can't do it now. Yeah, we broke through. Yeah, sorry. Done. Amen. Too late. I don't know what that means. I keep getting that word. Too late. I keep seeing that word. Too late. Wow. Too late, Satan. It's way too late. They've already broken through. Yeah, already broken through. When you break through, too late, man. Yeah, anyway, there you go. All right, Jayla, $265. God bless you, Jayla. In Jesus' name, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I see this thing of being unworthy, of moving into this realm of worthy is the Lamb of God, and worthy is Jayla, because Jayla is born of the worthy one. Yeah, the worthy one. And I see a visitation from the Lord. I don't know if that's going to be angelic. I don't know what that is exactly, but I see a visitation from the Lord coming in the night season, and during a struggling time, a time of struggle, you know, like when you're like, oh, okay, God, what's next? What's going on? Where we at? What's up? And a visitation of the Spirit of God coming in somehow or another and bringing light to your eyes to see that the creative power of God is for more than just one thing. It is for a multitude of things. And God's going to open up your eyes to the creative power of God. He's going to show you the Creator God somehow, how he creates. God's going to show you how he creates. Wow. That's amazing, how he creates. Well, the only way I know how God creates is like how he did when he created the earth, designed it and all the things. That whole design realm, the whole thing, God designed it, and he spoke it through, he spoke, the word spoke it, G,
Jesus through Christ and the Holy Spirit literally brought it into physical action, into physical manifestation. So God's going to show you that and more. Sometimes he's going to show you how he creates so that you can see how to create things. Of course, you know, you don't create things on your own. You create things through the will of God. That's what the word created was, the will of God. What was the will of God? An earth with green trees and fish and animals and, you know, crops and people and the sun and the moon and the stars. That was all God's plan, and it was created through the Word. St. John says there was nothing that was created without the Word. In other words, the Father couldn't make anything without going through the Word. So God's going to show you the designer, that he's opening up the designing realm to you, the word realm, how to speak it into existence, how to speak it into, and then the Holy Spirit brings it into, he's the one who literally physically creates what the design is that has to come through the Word. God's going to show you that. The designer realm is going to open up to you so that you can know what to create. You don't know what to create unless the designer designs it, right? So the designer in you is going to design. Amen. And that's not just with clothing either. It's in all kinds of things. You're going to design all kinds of things, thought processes, new ways of thinking, new ways of looking at things. Amen. New processes, the whole thing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, cool, man. That's awesome. All right, Nicole gave two offerings, $336.56 was one offering. The other offering was $442.50. Thank you, Nicole. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I see sevens. I see the numbers of seven. I see sevens. And seven is things being, you know, perfected, completely perfected. That God is about to enter into a place with you of how to perfect things. You know, we think, well, our image of perfection is a human image of perfection. God's image of perfection is a whole different thing. And God's going to show you the difference between human perfection and God perfection. I'm going to show you that. And so perfection from God is the way he wants things done. The way he does things is perfection, right? Be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be holy even as your Father in heaven is holy. So that whole thing. And God bringing you to a place to where he wants to use you to get people to think correctly, to know correctly, not just to think correctly, but to know correctly. In other words, things go into their heart, not just their mind, but God's going to start doing this thing where you're speaking through the mind to get to the heart. That's what Satan does. Satan comes to the mind trying to get to the heart. You know, God's going to show you how to get to the mind so you can get to the heart. Because if you never make it to the heart, it's not going to be, they're not going to know it. They're just going to go out, flop around. Right? But when so Satan does. Satan's purpose is the battle mind is the battleground is the mind. Why? To get to the heart. Same thing with teaching. When teaching is done in ministry and things are being taught by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, it's taught to the mind, but it goes, the purpose is to change the heart. Amen? Yeah. And so God's going to really open you up to that and bring that about. So, you know, so you have to catch. I just gave the word to Jayla about the design. God's going to show you the design of thinking, how to think according to how God has designed us to think. We can't even think correctly without knowing what the design and purpose of God is. Once you see the design and purpose of God, then you can think, okay, that's what the God's design is. That's what God's purpose is. That's what his intentions are. Okay, now I got it. Now I can do it. Now it's in my heart. God's going to write it in our hearts. Amen. By the Holy Spirit. But we have to have teachers teaching it and bringing it forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So Lord, bring that forth in Jesus' name and open up that realm of redesigning the thinking of men, redesigning the thoughts and intentions of men. They can, the things that they intend, that their motives and intentions change because they get the motive and intention of God, which is the design of God, what he's designed them, how he's designed them to think. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. Okay. I'm going all over the place here. All right. Amen, in Jesus' name. And bless her wealth and her blessing, God, in Jesus' name. Bless her money in the name of Jesus. And I speak over that. Bless, bless, bless. Seven times, three times, sevens. Amen. All right. Chris from Texas, $2,533 building fund. Thank you, Chris, for that. God bless you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for the gathering together of harvest. I thank you, Lord, for the gathering together of the manner of which he does things, God. God's putting you, he's giving you a whole other manner of doing things. You're getting a whole other, I guess it's where I'm still getting the design information. There's a design where just got released to me, so I'm going to stay with that. So the design of heaven, the design, when God gives us what he wants to do, it's usually much bigger than what we design for ourselves. In other words, the thinking, the way we see ourselves, the way we see where we're going. Maybe we've always saw ourselves as under other people, under thing or less than, and God starts showing us that he's going to make us, he's going to use us as an example to show people how to worship God and how God, like Jesus said, not according to my design, but according to thy design, let it be done unto me. My will, not my will, but thy, what is the will? The will is the intentions and the desires of the Father. So that design comes into through the will. And you're going to start, I see you willing, you're going to be, there's such a willingness in you that's starting to open up, because your will, your own will is entering into a willingness. Like when you see Christ, when you watch the Passion of Christ and you see that part where he crawls up on the cross, dude, that just rocks my world, how that precious Jesus, our precious Jesus, oh my God, the Lamb of God. He should have been dead by then, and he was, there he was. They couldn't believe he was crawling up on his own cross. They just, usually people are screaming, crying, cussing, blaming their mom and their daddy, and everybody, their uncle, the government. But he's over there just saying, yeah, come on, nail it in. It just was, his willingness, Chris, it's what changes the way we get blessed. People think, well, I give all the time. Yeah, but are you doing it willingly? Are you doing it because, begrudgingly, or whatever? No, it's the way we do it. Jesus was so, what made Jesus' offering so sweet-smelling savor to the Lord, Chris, that he was, the Father was so pleased with, was because his willingness to do it. It wasn't because he did it. It was because of the willingness he had to do it. My God, when I saw that, bro, and I see that in you. I see that in you. I see that, because that changes you from being a pauper to being a king. Jesus was, they might have nailed him to the cross, he was the King of Kings. He was the willing of the willing. And oh my Lord, and the sweet-smelling savor that filled the earth realm with his love, with his blessing, with his sacrifice. It wasn't done because, oh my God, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, you know, it's like God just was so beautiful in him, Chris, and gave him such a loving desire to please the Father that, boy, did he ever. And that's what I see you. I see, and because you have such an overwhelming desire to please the Father, that he's going to please you, just like with like he did with Solomon. He's so pleased the Father when he saw him go, yeah, I just want your wisdom to judge people, and that's it, you know. That's all you want. They said, that's amazing. And I'm going to give you money. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you wisdom beyond. I'm going to give you your enemies. I'm going to give you everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of the willingness. The willingness is huge with being blessed. And the measure of being blessed is doing it willingly. Now, if you get a chance to see that show, it's a hard one to watch. But, man, precious Jesus, man. I mean, that's why he is so precious. That's why the angels call him precious and his blood precious. Because it is. But so are you, bro. God has made you, he's creating you a preciousness of willingness to lay down your life, do whatever, you know, yeah, in Jesus' name. So God bless you, multiply, increase you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, I think I heard another offering come in. Let's go back here and check it out. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, man. Wow. Okay. Shannon, $10. Thank you, Shannon. All right. Yeah, Shannon, this whole thing, too, about, let me see. Hang on a second. Yeah, you know what I see God doing with you? Michelle earlier says, yeah, come on, Randy, teach. When Jesus was crawling on the cross, my God, open up their eyes to see your son crawling on the cross. I know, that's what she was sharing earlier. And also, she sent me this thing about Wall of Prayer, which is Shun's ministry, Wall of Prayer, having a youth conference. All right. The Shun's going to be doing a youth conference held on Zoom at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. The meeting ID, I'll give you the meeting ID if you want, 854-7840-9522, and the passcode 393203. Amen. It's a conference on April the 10th, 2021, April. That's coming up. What did Jesus say? Yeah. Amen. All right. And we'll be sending that out to you, too. But also, I just noticed what LaShawn said about that. Come on, Randy, teach it. Yeah. I'll send out everybody this thing about her youth conference. All right, awesome, LaShawn. All right, let's go here and well, I'm going all over the place. Jesus is so good, man. I love this time of the year because we get to think about what he did. Beautiful. All right, Shannon. Shannon Michael. All right, Shannon, pray for God to bless me with success and finances and love. Yes, Lord, and I'm speaking to the sins of the fathers. I don't know. We never know who did what or why they did it, but once those sins get into the bloodline, they pass down from generation to generation. I'm speaking over your sins, the sins of the fathers, Shannon, in Jesus' name, that forgiveness in Jesus' name from darkness, forgiveness from unforgiveness, forgiveness for, you know, abuse and pain and heartache and suffering in Jesus' name and being abused. When people get abused, they always abuse the next generation, one way or the other, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. So, Lord, I speak forgiveness over the abuse realm in Jesus' name that Shannon is walking in the realm of walking with God and not crucifying the Son of God afresh, but blessing him and being a blessing to him in Jesus' name. And bless his money realm, God. Just bless his money. I speak forgiveness over the sins of the fathers, of greed and lust of the flesh, and pride in Jesus' name. Those sins are forgiven into your sins of the fathers. In the name of Jesus, they are released and forgiven. And I speak the blessing of God, the generosity of God in Jesus' name. That God be generous to you. God be generous to your seed. God be generous to your blood. God be generous to you in Jesus' name. For God so loved the world that he gave. Lord, I thank you that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because it's in giving that we receive. When you give, then you receive. That's why it's more blessed to give. And so I speak the blessing over him, God, that he will receive financial blessing and love, and find that love in Jesus' name. Let it be, let it come forth, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Nicole sent, thank you, Nicole, sent an offering, $46.01. All right, 46.01. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, I thank you for blessing. Okay, hang on a second. Okay, he said he was had a Shannon said he had a dream a few weeks ago. I was carrying files and dropped them on the floor, went to pick them up and saw at the top in capital letters, bloodline. Not sure what that means. Oh, God's going to go to the bloodline and he's going to deal with all of us in our bloodline, man. I think this is not a new thing, but it's the way we're doing it that's, I think, is a fresh thing from heaven. I think that's what's so fresh about it. It's a bloodline rip. I don't know. That's awesome, though. Congratulations on that. That's good. Really good. All right, Nicole, 4601. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Thank you, God, for her being able to remember the things that God has spoken, to remember them, to make to make memories of those things. And Jesus said, when we take communion, do this in remembrance of me, to remember what Jesus did and what he paid for and what belongs to us. We got to just keep remembering what Jesus paid for, what he did, and know that we're blessed and we're favored, and Nicole is blessed and Nicole is favored in Jesus' name. And God's going to bring to your supernatural impartation to your mind of the connection to the remembrance of the cross and the payment he made on the cross. The payment he made on the cross. Because that's when you get revelation of that, you got the breakthroughs just come. I mean, every man of God, most men of God that I know that had great healing ministries, they had great revelations of what Christ paid for on the cross. Many of them, in one way or the other, would see what Christ paid for on the cross. Visions and dreams, angels would show up and show up. I mean, one way or the other. And so I decreed that into her life, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 All right, and I know this is going to sound a little funny, but let me go back and make sure I got that correct. All right, 4601. All right, Nicole, I think you'll receive it, but 4601, what does it add up to the numbers? 11. 4 and 6 is 10, and 1 is 11. Well, when I just got your offering and I looked up and I still have 1 Corinthians 11, which is where we do communion. Watch this, man. I mean, this happened just this second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds ago. I looked up and saw 1 Corinthians 11, and the Lord said, look at her offering again. So I looked at your offering again because I got it right in front of me, and it was 4601. She said, add up the numbers. So I added up the numbers. That's 11. And I was just looking at 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Yes, okay, thank you. All right, so there's connection with that, what I just said about getting revelation of the death of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 is where it talks about the remembrance and the body and the whole thing. Oh, okay, so Lord, impart that to her, number 11. You know, like some people have been getting dreams and visions and seeing 11-11 a lot. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, 11. So 11. So the chapter 11. What's the chapter 11 about? 11. 11. Nevertheless, Lord. Okay, I don't know. God's going to give you a revelation on 1 Corinthians 11. Yeah, for some reason. I don't know why, but just bless her with that, God. Give her wisdom and knowledge and understanding in that in the name of Jesus. And let there be a new impartation on her, God, on the understanding of what was paid for at the cross. I know several men of God that have had dreams, visions, angels showed them things that happened on the cross for Christ. And when they saw that in a dream or vision or an angel showed them, it totally changed their whole life. And they just like for some reason, that changed them, and they entered into this place where they started seeing miracles and healings because they got a revelation of the payment of Christ, chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11. Anyway, interesting, very, very interesting. Hear the bells ringing, Christ has been risen from the dead. Yeah. Okay, wow. What an interesting night this has been. Dear God, dear God, dear God. And I think I've prayed over everybody. I think I've prayed over every person. God is really good. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, come back here. Y'all, and I've had a wonderful, wonderful day. It's been an amazing week, but I think I'm going to call it night tonight. Okay, so let me go here. I'm going to call it a night tonight. All right, I'm not even taking any calls. I think I prayed over everybody. Nobody has their hand up anyway. But okay, awesome, 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 awesome blossom. There's a new blossom going on. Hopefully that word that Mike has had and other people have had about April showers, that would be cool to watch that come about and happen. We'll be believing God for that, April showers. Amen. That's coming up in April, March, April. Coming right up. Okay. All right, we're going to call it a night tonight, I think, y'all. Thank you very much. It's been awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. What a night. Good. Thank God. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you so much. God bless everybody. People are getting breakthroughs. It's really awesome to watch. And it's just the beginning. I think tonight we had, several thousand dollars. Several, you know, let's see, 2,500. That was, anyway, I'm going to add it all up, but I'm too tired right now to do that. But we had a great night tonight as far as building fund offerings, doubling things. So, wow, it's going to be really cool to watch. All right, everybody, we love you. God bless you. It's been great to have you tonight. I'm going to call it a night tonight. I know it's not even midnight yet, but I think I've prayed faster tonight or something. Maybe we're getting more done with less effort. Something, I'm not sure. But whatever, I love it. All right, God bless everybody. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.